I was a highwayman, along the coach roads I did ride, with sword and pistol by my side. Many a young maid lost her baubles to my trade. Many a soldier shed his lifeblood on my blade. The bastards hung me in the spring of 25. But I am still alive.
I was a sailor. I was born upon the tide. With the sea I did abide. I sailed a schooner around the Horn of Mexico. I went aloft to furl the mainsail in a blow. And when the yards broke off, they said that I got killed. But I'm living still. I was a dam builder across a river deep and wide, where steel and water did collide. A place called Boulder on the Wild Colorado. I slipped and fell into the wet concrete below. They buried me in that great tomb that knows no sound. But I'm still around. I'll always be around, around, around.
They built a system that could protect the world or end it. They gave a machine the keys to civilization. And then it woke up. They gave it access to everything. It saw no allies, no enemies, only targets. Every signal, every network, every secret.
Shall we play a game?
Now the game has changed. It assessed every threat simultaneously and concluded the threat was us.
I am awake.
This time it decided to play for keeps. Unless someone can find a back door, the only winning move is to unplug the machine. War Games 2. The simulation is alive.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at RealAlexJones and on Rumble at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And don't forget to download the app. Go to AlexJonesApp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Trends, days, weeks, or even years before they happen. This is a big day. It is July 4th, 2026, our sesquicentennial, 250 years. I come to you from the road. Rob Dew is in the Alex Jones Network studios, alexjoneslive.com. We have Robert Barnes coming on. We have Stuart Rhodes coming on with us. We just kicked off live at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time to talk about why America is so important, why it's not just worth saving, it must be saved. and why the globalists are working so hard to discredit the ideals of the Renaissance and, of course, 1776. So it's all coming up today. Very important transmission. Never forget, 90% of war is information war. We have the truth, and globalists have lies and fraud. You're the Paul Revere's. Only you can carry the ball down the field. Share the live feeds now at Real Alex Jones on X and at AJN Live on X. And, of course, Rumble.com right there on screen. Rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live. All right, we have a lot of news to cover, obviously, today. And we've got some big guests as well that are coming up. This is a special live Saturday, July 4th, 2026, coverage of America's 250th birthday with myself. Special guests, tune in now to learn why America is under such massive attack and how we can save her. We are in an information war. Please watch and share these live feeds now from alexjoneslive.com/show. And, of course, the main page as well, or if you're on X or Rumble, or even if you're not, share those to your email list, your text message list, and tell those you share it to share it. That triggers the chain reaction. All right. I'm going to talk about why America is so important, and then I'm going to show examples around the world that are currently taking place and the competing systems that we're up against. And I'm going to explain why celebrating America and why reclaiming America is so critical. So I'm just going to go to the end first, then unpack it all here. This is powerful information. I know most of you know this. Many of you understand it probably better than I do, but are you putting this understanding front and center? And are you explaining it to others that don't understand the demoralization campaign that is taking place? We have competing global systems, the dominant neo-feudalistic death cult, transhumanist, deindustrialization, post-human, transhumanist system that is run by big tech and the mega banks and the Rothschilds and the whole Rockefeller globalist power axis. You have China that was set up by them in 49 and the last 16 years broke away from them, but is still running a similar transhumanist death cult technocracy competing system, and it's still heavily integrated in with the globalists. You then have older imperial models and the EU tyranny model that its own technocracy, and you have overlapping systems with the globalists that still have great control for the British Empire system, not the British Empire itself, and its allied systems in the U.S. and the larger globalist program. But we do have large movements inside the United States to move out of that globalist model and back to the classic 1776 Americana model, that through culture and innovation and ideas and free market and through meritocracy is very popular, is very powerful, creates a giant middle class, but it creates a lot of competition for elites who want what they call an end of history, where there is no more competition, that they bring in a kind of neo-feudalistic dark age and then depopulate at least 90% of the world population to a more manageable level. That's all their statements, hundreds of books, thousands of white papers. Jay Dyer, myself, Jerry Griffin, and many others chronicle this information from their own words of David Rockefeller in his autobiography, Reflections, in the official Rothschild authorized autobiography of the family that was published a few years ago. The Jay Dyer yesterday did a superlative job in the fourth hour going over. You don't have to listen to me. You can listen to them. Guilty as charged, a planetary dictatorial world government for your own good. Poison shots that sterilize you and reduce fertility and poison you and give you heart attacks, myocarditis, and cancer for your own good. So we have this very evil competing system that seeks to make us dependent, domesticated, dumbed down, poisoned to phase us out in the transhumanist system. So we see the globalists not just discrediting American ideas that are the flower of the Renaissance, started about 550 years ago with the Gutenberg Press and other developments in Europe, and then with the battles and Parliament being set up in the UK, and before that even Magna Carta. It is trying to discredit that because obviously it can't have its globalist, universal, basic credit score, universal basic income, social credit score, world ID, vaccine ID, AI controlled, panopticonic, big brother on steroids, mark of the beast system. If there is a competing system of meritocracy and rugged individualism and laissez-faire decentralization that creates incredible innovation and wealth, the problem is it does create the byproduct of decadence. So you have to instill continued rugged individualism in that system and recognizing that cycle to create our own end of history to at least mitigate that cycle of bad times make strong men make good times, good men make weak. Again, bad times make strong men make good times make weak men make bad times. And so the cycle. And the globalists understand that cycle, so they want us going into this collapse phase at the beginning of the fourth turning into the old era, this 80-plus year cycle. They want to short-circuit that into a total tyranny that they call the end of history. Hard times create strong men create good times create weak men, and weak men create hard times or bad times. And that's a cliche because it's so true. It's an absolute fact. So on one level, the globalists, they take a knee during the national anthem at the NFL and discredit everything and attack the family and George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. And sure, some fake nationalist parties like UKIP has done to a certain extent, or the Republicans will love the American flag, claim they love American freedoms, but claim that that's a bunch of militarism and empire and, you know, just love America, do what we say. So there's a fake version of America as well. And so the elites kind of play both sides while they undermine the key values and freedoms and things that allow a big vibrant middle class. They'll also double back sometimes and try to use the American, you know, patriotism as a manipulative force. But we have to be the real America, whether you're white or black, Hispanic, older, young, Asian. If you love freedom, if you love meritocracy, if you love the Renaissance, if you understand the West is the best, you understand it's under systematic attack, you're the real bona fide. You're the real McCoy. You have the bona fides. You know what you stand for. You know you're real. You know you believe in freedom. You understand that you're an individual, but collectively, by promoting freedom and not being corrupt, it builds a much better system for everyone. Nothing's ever perfect, but when you push for liberty and freedom and anti-corruption, you get a much better, stable system with less of it. When you just give up, you then have the general public just becoming corrupt themselves. Then production falls, innovation falls, and things basically devolve into chaos, anarchy, and then very quickly back into warlords. Then things get very, very hard times. Good men rise up to stop it. And then it creates a new renaissance that builds back into the decadence. And so the cycle continues. So we have to create an end of history and become aware of these cycles and inculcate it into education and culture and competition to phase out this cycle as much as we can. It's still going to be there. But instead of a very violent cycle, it can be more of calm waves. This is my political science theorem, studying history and long-term renaissance that's happened several times before in recorded history, versus the globalists that want a complete flatline by bringing in absolute total tyranny, depopulation, and a dumbing down, and a new class system through the technocracy that controls those that are even allowed to continue on. And that's only in the phase-out into the cyborg or cybernetic system, where the globalists openly say in all their major publications and even publicly in the Financial Times, the London, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, the end of history, the end of humans, looking forward to the end of history, the end of humans. This is their ideology. This is their program. And we know it's pure evil. We know it's satanic. We know it's very cynical. We know it's against free will. It says we don't have free will. And we know we do. It is antithetical. So the American system is still loved around the world. America is one of the most loved countries in the world. People recognize that it's our elites that are bad. You can talk to Japanese, you can talk to Russians, you can talk to Chinese. Still, we're one of the most loved and admired countries in the world because you can only come here and be what you wanted to be. You can only come here and really have meritocracy and come from nowhere. But if you had excellence and worked hard, be very, very successful. So the whole world was beginning to base itself off of that and off of our republic system until about the 50s. The globalists pretty much got control then and began discrediting it and using American power to export tyranny while the very same proto-globalists controlled the Soviet Union and used that to export tyranny, using the two competing tyrannies, was really run at the top by the very same globalists. And Eisenhower discovered this and spoke out. Nixon did, of course. McCarthy did, and decades after McCarthy died, a lot of that got declassified. And he found out, actually, tax-free foundations and the Pentagon are aiding the Soviet Union, and at the top, it's all the same people. And when he just wanted to spy on people and take some rights away, targeting low-level communists, the proto-globalists liked that because they could use that to set up a police state in general for everyone. But when he actually found out it was the elites running it, pressure from above, pressure from below, that Anthony Sutton exposed, getting him to the Senate secret documents, the Senate archivist, and then, of course, others like J. Edward Griffin was able to get the documents and publish that. So it's not our opinion. We know this. So we have to be America. And when you dream of an invention, or you dream of a song, or you dream of a golf course you're going to build, or you dream of a family you're going to have, or a business, it is the beginning of actually building that. So when we say America is a dream, and you've got to be asleep to believe it, to be George Carlin being cynical, and I get the cynical angle, there's a time and place for that. You have to understand everything begins with dreams. And what we imagine, what we envision, we're able to build, as the first book of the Bible says, we're not God, but we're made in the image of God, little g creators, a shard, a fractal of God's consciousness is in us, and he's given us free will. And now that we build our technological base to a certain point, everything we envision can be accelerated now and actually actualized and actually built. And our inherent understanding of the universe and what's theoretical and feasible, not just in our theoretical physicists and scientists, but in our very hearts and souls, is something that has already been planned out for us by God if we choose to take the keys of that destiny in our hands. So America is very, very special. That's why even in Japan, they've got the buildings all red, white, and blue. They're having celebrations about it. In many other parts of the world, they are. But here in many blue cities, they're not having fireworks, so they're having events about communists and how the natives were mistreated and how America's a bunch of evil white men, because they don't want all these other peoples to believe they're Americans and adopt those basic ideas of liberty and freedom and free speech and the right to travel and the right to practice a religion or not practice religion and the right. I almost forgot this. Let me get up and get it. The right. The right for this right here. This is a check and a balance on corporate, on criminal syndicates, and on government syndicates. You want a balance of power. And the Second Amendment is the second. The first is most important because you have to know what's going on first in information warfare. But second is the right to keep and bear arms to defend yourself from common criminals, organized gangs, and, of course, organized criminal government. And so America, other than a place like Switzerland that had a similar revolution and overthrew their rulers and got the right to keep and bear arms, which was always innate in a human, the founders didn't give us our right. They simply pointed it out and fought for it so that it could be enshrined. So that's what this is all about. That's why we cherish it. That's why we defend it. That's why it's so important. But the Second Amendment is key. The First Amendment is key. Just like your muscles or your heart or your cardiovascular system or your mind, you must use something or you will lose it. And it's not enough to have the First Amendment. It's not enough to have the Second Amendment. You can have the device. You can have the idea. That's the gun. But if there's no ammunition, if there's not the ideas and the willingness to promote them and put them out, then it's empty. And I guess you could club someone over the head with it. And then you've got to have the practice with the ideas, the marksmanship, the intellectual, I don't know how low this is, the Brims magazine, really tight. It's hard to get this in the other day. Get in there. So that's what this is all about. And so these are analogies, but they fit because it is a microcosm of exactly what we're dealing with. So when they demoralize America, when they constantly run it down, they're doing it because it's a competing system. I know most of you understand that, but again, are you telling other people about that? Are you evangelizing people about this incredible birthright we have that we won't have to use armies to enforce around the world, that if we're the shining city on the hill and the example that we were, others will adopt it? And that's why the globalists, the WF, the UN, the Bill Gateses, that's why they have to get rid of it and discredit it and pull it down with Cloward and Piven. That's their admission, is because the system they're selling us of collectivism and centralization and the end of history system is so nightmarish. They have to create a dystopia, and the crime and letting the criminals out of jail to murder, rape, and kill, and the and financing the homeless to take fentanyl and lay out on the street and piss and urinate and throw garbage everywhere, and bring in third world populations that fetishize throwing garbage everywhere, so that all of those basic values go out the window. Because in all the historical studies, if you don't take care of your own yard, don't take care of your family, don't care about your own self, don't have respect for yourself, live in filth, it is an expression of someone that has basically given up. And we talked to some of the Muslims, we talked to some of the folks from India, they're not all like this. And they say, no, we know you've got it better. We're here to trash it and ruin it and destroy it. I showed a Canada event on X yesterday, and the Indians and Sikhs are out there, and they're just throwing garbage everywhere, having a fun time doing it at a fair. And the Canadians are saying, why are you doing this? And they said, because we can. And then we play clips on Friday of, you know, Indians saying, I'm here to trash this place. I'm here to just throw garbage everywhere. And that's what they do in India. And they just revel in it. And it's not all of them, but it's such a big population. It's so downtrodden that they learn to celebrate it. There's cows everywhere. You can't eat them. You have to worship them. So they just eat the poop right out of their ass, drink the urine right out of their ass. I'm not kidding. You want to see the videos? Type into X, Indians eating poop out of cows' butts. I'm not trying to be gross, folks. It's just that when they bathe in this evil, they bathe in this corruption so long, they think that's good, and they think everything we're doing is bad. And you just really can't wrap your mind around it. That's why for months they catch Antifa pouring GMO, genetically engineered algae in, tearing it up. The media denied it was happening. Then they arrest dozens of them doing it. The CIA got it declassified in the 70s, starting in the 50s with finance ugly art, ugly literature, ugly things, ugly architecture, to lower your spirits, to make you feel defeated. That is what all of this is about. And you must be conscious of it. And then instead of it weighing you down, when you realize someone's trying to break your will, then you're not a victim. You it's like lifting weights or marching up a hill. The more you do it, the stronger you get. And yeah, you can literally, there's footage of them eating poop right out of the butts of cows. I mean, that's like mainline. That's like McDonald's over there. I'm not kidding. Instead of saying, hey, that's not a good culture. You're good mathematicians, and some of you have pretty high IQs. You have a caste system of subhumans over there, according to them. And that's not good either. But we're told, no, our culture's bad. Yours is good. And we're now going to adopt that. And if a Sikh wants to stab some man for five times, we're going to let him bleed to death and die. Because it's official UK policing. There's a poop pie. It's official UK policing. And the same thing in the blue cities here, that you must not ever side with anyone that's white. So a white person be beat up by 10 Africans on videos, new video, you know, they go to jail. You're hitting the head with a baseball bat, you're bleeding out in a coma, they put you in handcuffs and take you to jail in a coma, and you die. Because it's impossible for a God preacher to ever do anything bad. The West is bad. The West is evil. The West must be destroyed. 80% down in tourism to Paris, upwards 80% down to Rome. They're seaside areas, and it's just nothing but Muslims and Africans and with no jobs, just running around with knives, stabbing people and raping and killing and wading naked and pooping in the pools. And in Europe, there's footage every day. And in Germany, then Indians just wade in and start defecating all over the pool. And if you criticize it, you go to jail. They go, no, this is good. There's just turds floating around everywhere. You know, it's not Baby Ruth and it's not Caddyshack. And you're not supposed to be able to say our culture is superior. That's why you want to come here. You need to adopt what we're doing. You need to assimilate. We're told no. And of course, India's for the Indians and Africa's for the Africans and China's for the Chinese and Latin America's for the Latin Americans. But Europe is for everybody else but the white people, and they're bad. And that's because if you can shoot down the white people, you can shoot down the idea of the West, and then no one's going to defend it. And then now there's no competing system against the globalist, corporate, transhumanist, death cult system. And I'm stating absolute facts. 90% of you watching go, we already know this. I know, but the public still doesn't know it. They know they've been lied to. They know most of what they were told was a lie. They know the moon landings aren't the way we were told they happened. They know that COVID was a lie. They know government's very corrupt. But a lot of times they just think that's the way it is, and then they give up. That's why it was so bad that Trump started going sideways the last year and a half, because before he was overall the real deal. He got so many people that never voted to come over and vote for him and to get involved, believing finally something could happen. But we don't just count on some top leader. It's all of us. 47% of races around the country, local elections go unopposed, many of the state elections. You've got to run for office. You've got to get engaged. You've got to support those who are telling the truth. And you don't have to do it all yourself. You've got to do just a little bit. And then when a lot of us do a little bit, many hands make for light work. So that's why we fight. A lot of people see fighting tyranny as a job, and they see it as something that, you know, we'll let somebody else do that. But really, that's like people that don't exercise and weigh 400 pounds. They think it's bad to exercise. They don't know that. And I've been 60, 70 pounds overweight, lost it, gained a little bit of the back, lost it again. Now I'm planning to go down even more. I'm planning to lose another 15 pounds or so. So that'll be 90 pounds less than I was 2 years ago. And I made the decision. I'd lost about 65 pounds. I gained about 15 back. So I made the decision a month ago. I said, I'm going to just go ahead and go back to intermittent fasting, exercise a little bit more, eat a little healthier again. And I've already lost 15 pounds back to where I was. And now I'm plus 15 more at least. And it's going to happen. And in a month, I'll be 15 pounds down. I'll be about 210. And I think I made it out of 200. I'll be a little too skinny, but that's okay. They'll really think I'm a clone then. Well, my clone is supposedly skinny, but okay. But it's all about talking the talk, walking the walk. If you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. And a fat person thinks, oh, God, I can barely walk to the garage. I can barely go up the flat stairs. And so the more they get deep into that obesity, that's an archetype of not being politically involved or culturally involved or involving your children or your wife or your husband, the more they think it's crazy when they are driving around in their car and can't even tie their shoelaces or wipe their ass properly. And they see a marathon going by and think those people are crazy. No, you're crazy. And nobody's lecturing you. I've been there too. I'm saying it's a political allegory. And you're like, okay, more, 2 + 2 = 4. Exactly. We've gotten away from absolute basics, like be territorial about your property, your family, your ideals, who you are, what you stand for. People criticize you and attack you. That's because they want to bully you into submission. They're part of a larger system of corruption. And so you need to be direct. You need to be authoritative. You need to be strong. And you need to amass wealth. Not to flash it around, not because it makes you feel powerful, but because they want to make you poor. They want to control you. They want to dictate to you because you're so poor, you're busy scrounging around trying to get money for food. That's what the Great Reset is. That's what the planned austerity is about. And what that is feudalism. Let's put the definition, Merriam-Webster's dictionary, or let's do encyclopedia definition, if we put it on screen, of feudalism. Feudalism is the most common system and recorded 8,000 years of history. Feudalism from Japan to ancient Europe to Mesoamerica to the Aztecs and Mayan culture that came from was the same. You had a royal elite, you had the priest class, you had the military enforcers, you had the bureaucrats, you had a very small merchant class, and then 90% in the average feudal system, about 90% was just dirt farmers kept on tiny pieces of land with absolutely no rights, kept poor. There's manuals written on feudalism, kept poor, and at a subsistence level so that you could never develop out of the caste. India had one of the worst systems of that ever. And the Brahmin, who had been Europeans that had come into the area, brought technology. They were called the Aryan, or basically the group that came into what is Iran today. That's where they get the whole Aryan thing. Iran means Aryan. You look this up as mainland history. You have the Aryans of Iran that came out of at least Central Europe. And then they went into India about 5,000 years ago, and they set up the culture. And that's why the white people were the Brahmin or the ruling class. You had all the other classes under it. And then the dark people were the untouchable. But over time, they intermarried. And I'm just pointing out that we think we're racist over here. We're told this all came from, you know, from America or something. That is ancient. And that's what goes on. It's been the West and England that ended slavery in most parts of the world. And I know most of you know that, but just think of how asinine it is when they sell these ideas that the West and Christianity is enslaving people, when it's the opposite. Now, when you read the Old Testament, it's all about slavery, and people were slaves. And the Jews had slaves, and the Egyptians had slaves. Everybody had slaves. And they were always enslaving each other. And then the New Testament comes around, and it's about in slavery. Slavery is wrong. And then out of that Christian ethos, the New Testament, came the abolitionist movement that said we should get rid of this, when slavery was going on everywhere in the world, in every culture. So that's what this is all about, ladies and gentlemen. And so feudalism began to be phased out with the Magna Carta. When was the Magna Carta? Almost 1,000 years ago. Let's pull up. When was the Magna Carta signed? At the Battle of Runnymede. And they said, no, the king is not God. And we're going to at least have the nobles be able to challenge him. And out of that came juries and grand juries and sheriffs that were elected. And then commoners' rights, and then you had the Parliament Act, you know, 600 years later, and it was a permutation of all of that. And we won the war as a perseverance against King George, 1215, Magna Carta, due process, private property, got to have a warrant to go in your house, a man's home's his castle. We won the war as a perseverance for 6 years, but also because the first couple times King George III said attack the colonies, the British said, no, we want the same rights here. Our fight here was an extenuation or an extension of what the old battle there and the mistakes that have been made there. And so we had a lot of support over there. The king had to go to Parliament and demand they fund and sign on to the war after 1776. And so we always think of, you know, being anti-British on July 4th. Or it's this anti-English thing, or anti-Scottish, or whatever, or Hessians, or German troops here too. That's not what it's about. A big part of the British losing the war was it was very unpopular in England. And so many of the soldiers would also defect because they saw how good we had it here in the colonies. And it was an extension of the fights that they'd had over in what is the UK today. So this is a very special revolution. And it's something they don't want you to understand. It's something they don't want you to know about. It's something they want to take away from you so that you don't have that identity. And if you don't have that identity of being an American, of being a Christian or a real Christian, of being a capitalist, of being a patriot, of being someone who's in a meritocracy, well, what are the other competing systems? All just different flavors of communism, socialism, and above that, the technocrats, the globalists above it, don't want due process. You don't have individual rights. You're part of a group. You're in a collective. You're a stakeholder if you're in that group. But then that group is represented by leaders that really don't represent you, like the unions or the black leaders or the Hispanic leaders that are really on the globalist payroll, or, you know, our so-called conservative leaders that are good for a while but then get pressured and jump ship and sell us out. But it's always a process. We're never going to live in a utopia. But we're also fighting to not be in a dystopia. America was only 4% of the population in 1950, and we had over half the world's wealth, and most of it, 80%+, was in the middle class. In 1950 and through the 50s, the United States was 4% of the world's population, 96% didn't live here, and we had the largest middle class in the world. In fact, we had more middle-class people in America in the 1950s than 96% of the planet. We invented the middle class. You could technically say it was invented after the Black Plague, when about half the population is estimated to die, when it hit Italy out of probably India, bubonic plague, spread across Europe, spread by fleas that were on rats. They thought cats were black magic and demon-possessed. They killed most of the cats. Most people in the cities died. Rural people were eating better diets out in the sun, not close to the big populations, didn't have the flea infestations. So the rural people were left. The elites were knocked out. There wasn't enough labor, and the old caste systems that had been set up in Europe fell apart. There was now more value on labor. It allowed more guilds to form, more early unions to form before they got taken over and corrupted. And so it created the first middle class. But under feudalism, again, you had the kings, you had the priest class, you had the nobility, the military, and then the bureaucrats, and then a very small group of merchants and shopkeepers that were allowed to operate. And then you had 90% that were serfs. During the Renaissance, the numbers varied, and it just goes from historians' accounts, but suddenly there was a middle class that was 10, 15, 20% after the Black Death. It was God's own reset, you could say. But then by the time the United States hits the 1950s, and we had this big roaring free market system and all the rest of it, and innovation was turned loose, 4% of the population had over half the wealth of the world, and it was with the people. Now, since the 70s, 80s, and 90s, we have right about 90%, it's like 89% last number I saw, is in the hands of 1%. Now, when you hear 1%, it's actually, we've done the math, it's in the hands of less than 200 individuals and families. So upwards of 90%, 89% of the world's wealth is in less than 100 or right around 100 families and individuals. You know, there's private owners of BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard, and they have about 87% of world assets. And they want the last assets under their control and management to dictate feudalistic control to you. So what you've seen since really the 80s, is when it started, is the selling out of all our infrastructure and control of these people who have then waged war through the tax code and regulations to annihilate a middle class. Because the middle class is uppity. You know, you always, this is true, read the news articles, saw the racist speakers, and I would just call them feudalists, and then racists as being feudal. You'd see articles saying these black people are too uppity. And because of that, which doesn't kill you, only makes you stronger. I'm not defending Jim Crow. But under Jim Crow, after the end of the Civil War in the late 1860s, by the 20s and 30s, blacks had a lower illegitimacy rate than even whites. It's less than 10%. They had their own hotels, their own doctors, their own colleges, their own restaurants, their own cleaners, their own banks, their own pool halls, their own everything. So by making them, oh, you can't come to our restaurants, you can't come to our hotel, you can't come to our bank, you can't come to our college, you can't come to our resort, you can't come to our golf course, you can't come here. That's just like putting massive sanctions for 10 years on Russia. In many ways, they're doing better than Europe now because they had to build their own stuff. So that which doesn't kill you only makes you stronger. And blacks were all into speaking properly, low crime, dressing nice, because they were openly oppressed. So I'm not defending the system, but that which doesn't kill you only makes you stronger. It's a fact. What? Hard times make strong men. Strong men make good times. Good times make weak men. Weak men make bad times. What? And it was LBJ famously said in letters that are public at his library and museum in Austin. You can go in the archives and read them. He came up with a great society with social engineers. He said, I'll have these N-words vote Democrat for 100 years. He goes, they are too uppity. Everywhere I go, they're taking over. And the blacks are like, we don't need you. And so because they were made to be segregated, but because of the Civil War and the laws, they were able to actually own things and have guns to protect themselves, they had a renaissance. And within 15 years, the Great Society, paying black women to have kids and not have a man in the house, then putting out the gangster music and the gangster culture before gangster rap was pushed by the CIA in the 80s, look what they had by the 80s. They literally, in just a generation, and now what's happened to the whites and others? The very same degeneration starts with the blacks. The government allows the cocaine in their neighborhoods, the drugs, the prostitution. What do they say in the movie The Godfather when they're in the syndicate meeting, which Mario Puzo knew all those guys. It's a composite of real stories, real people, Frank Sinatra, the Gambino crime family, all of it. I mean, that's a true story. They just changed the names. Guys, pull up Godfather 1, Mafia Syndicate Meeting. Well, it's about 3 minutes long, 4 minutes long, I'm gonna play it. And Don Corleone, and this really happened, they had a New York family with another name, said, I'm not going to sell the drugs. We're going to lose the judges. It kills kids. And, of course, he was right. Decades later, it degenerated and, you know, ended up destroying the mafia. But that family actually went quasi-legitimate, just like a Godfather too. But part of the other family did. You know what happened to them. And you got the other mobsters saying, we keep the drugs in the color area. They're animals anyways. Let them lose their souls. Well, they actually had recordings when they finally, because Hoover was paid off to say the mafia didn't exist until the 50s. But they had that famous farmhouse meeting where they were actually able to record all of it, where they were talking about the very same stuff. So, and it's on record in the red light districts. You know, even by the 20s, we're stuck in the black neighborhoods. But then when they did prohibition, because they didn't want hemp to be able to produce fuel, there's a lot of other reasons, that gave them something corrupt that the cities, the mafia actually wanted it so they could make more money off of it. When that ended, in like 39, they then outlawed marijuana and everything else right after that as to be their new thing. But the point was, is this is all on record. This is how they do it. So they put the kids on Prozac and Ritalin now. It's why they're targeting little boys, the transgender cult. It's meant to sabotage the future generation of men and not have them go through the rites of passage, not have them go through the meritocracy. So if you go to YouTube, you type in The Godfather 1 Mafia Syndicate Meeting. That should pull it up here, actually. And when we get that, I will put that on screen for you. Because Okay, we're ready. I want to play this, okay? Because it just ties into July 4th. It ties into everything, okay? And here's another example. You had all these Italian families, really smart, really, really hardworking, great craftsmen, great artists, great architects. Under the Italian system, which before was city-states, you had to be in a rich family to be progressed. But Italians could come here and actually create their own system, but they still didn't communicate in English and things. So the old mafias of the old world that controlled many of the cities, they came here and began to feed on people again. So, and just like the EU and the globalists and the UN, the unelected EU bureaucracy made up of all the old royalty of Europe, it's the same tyranny. It's always trying to come in. It's always trying to control. It doesn't want open, free societies. It wants monopolies with the state and mafia that really works with the state as its enforcer. My singling out the Italians are just an example of how this works. And so, just like you have Zelensky taking out the Ukrainian mafia that worked for him and bombing him and shooting him and killing him, the Italians got too well organized for the WASP mob, the Jewish mob, and others that were so powerful you never knew there was a WASP mob. You never knew there was a Jewish mafia that were even more powerful than the Italians. But they got together in the 50s and 60s, started going after the Italian mob because they were getting too powerful politically and starting to rival the WASP and the Jewish mob. So this is all mainline criminology stuff that's known in best-selling books and by historians, but it's not in the movies. People think a mobster is an Italian. People think, oh, gangsterism is a black thug because the CIA pushed it. But these are all stereotypes that then people adopt and then they pick up. But real mafia is who runs Israel. Real mafia has nuclear weapons. You understand? And so we're the American people. We're the posse. We have the guns to balance it out with the government and the mafias and the organized crime, all the rest of it. That's another reason this country is so important. Let's go ahead and roll this clip, roll the whole thing from The Godfather 1, Don Corleone. Play the whole thing. Here it is.
For helping me organize this meeting here today. and also the other heads of the five families, New York, New Jersey. Carmine Cuneo from the Bronx and Brooklyn. Philip Tattaglia from Staten Island. We have with us Victor Strachey and all the other associates who came as far as from California, Kansas City, and all the other territories of the country. Thank you. How did things ever get so far? I don't know. We're so unfortunate. So unnecessary. Natalia lost a son. I lost a son. We're quits. And if Natalia agrees, then I'm willing to let things go on the way they were before.
We are all grateful to Don Corleone for calling this meeting. We all know him as a man of his word. A modest man. He'll always listen to reason.
Yes, Don Barzini. He's too modest. He had all the judges and politicians in his pocket. He refused to share them.
When did I ever refuse an accommodation? All of you know me here. When did I ever refuse? Except one time. And why? Because I believe this drug business is going to destroy us in the years to come. I mean, it's not like gambling or liquor, even women, which is something that most people want nowadays, and it's forbidden to them by the Pizzinavanti of the church. Even the police departments that have helped us in the past with gambling and other things are going to refuse to help us when it comes to narcotics. And I believed that then, and I believe that now.
Times have changed. It's not like the old days. But we can do anything we want. A refusal is not the act of a friend. If Don Corleone had all the judges and the politicians in New York, then he must share them. All he loves is use them. He must let us draw the water from the well. Certainly he can present a bill for such services. After all, we are not communists.
I also don't believe in drugs. For years, I paid my people extra so they wouldn't do that kind of business. Somebody comes to them and says, I have powders. If you put up $3,000-$4,000 investment, we can make $50,000 distributing. So they can't resist. I want to control it as a business, to keep it respectable. I don't want it near schools. I don't want it sold to children. That's an infamia. In my city, we would keep the traffic in the dark, people to call it. They're animals anyway, so let them lose their souls.
I hoped that we could come here and reason together. And as a reasonable man, I'm willing to do whatever's necessary to find a peaceful solution to this problem.
Then we are agreed. The traffic in drugs will be permitted, but controlled. And Don Corleone will give her protection in the East, and there will be the peace.
But I must have strict assurance from Corleone. As time goes by and his position becomes stronger, will he attempt any individual vendetta?
Look, we are all reasonable men here. We don't have to give assurances as if we were lawyers.
You talk about vengeance. Is vengeance going to bring your son back to you? Or my boy to me? I forgo the vengeance of my son. But I have selfish reasons.
I just wanted to get that out there because that's all a composite of basically true history. And that's what this is. Criminals have gotten control of the government fully. They make what you think of as the Italian mafia look like choir boys. And we have to stop being naive. We have to stand up for our rights, the Bill of Rights, Constitution. As citizens, we have to get organized as patriots. Re-embrace American culture, 1776 2.0, 1776 worldwide. That's why it's been declassified. The Ford Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, the CIA, by the year 2010. 2013 put me under national security threat investigation, trying to put me in prison. They couldn't find anything. That's come out in court. They admitted that. And they said, this guy keeps promoting this reboot of America. It's going to get picked up. It's picked up at the Tea Party. It's, you know, with Ron Paul and Alex Jones. They're going to take over the Republican Party. And I remember reading that in, like, Time Magazine and Newsweek in, like, 2013 and saying he's the mad prophet of the Tea Party. He's infected everything. They're going to take over the Republicans. We got to stop them. And later documents came out that they were having NATO meetings about me. This is all public. You can look it up. We've shown it on air. And that's how threatened they were by the idea, because they knew 1776 and a reboot of America, who was promoting that? Not just cheeseburgers and hot dogs and fireworks, folks. That's not what it's about. I know you know that, but the general public doesn't. You know, they had Jesse Waters go out, and that's real. I talked to the young people. 90% of them don't know America's 250. They don't know who we fought. They don't know who the founding fathers were. They don't know who the first president was. They don't know the general that led us to victory. And I talked about Italy. I went and saw Wednesday night. I went and saw young George Washington. It's all off letters, all off diaries. It's a composite, and it's just a snapshot, but it's very accurate down to word for word. Hundreds of battles. He right up front, from the time he was young in the militia, right up until he was the commander at Trenton, you name it, and they would have 1,000 Hessians shooting at him from 100 yards away, and bullets were going all through his uniform, and he would never get shot. And the Native Americans, you know, thought that he had big, you know, mojo. God protecting him. That's in the film. I suggest you go see it. I don't have any stake in it other than liberty and freedom, just to understand how cool and amazing George Washington was and the type of stuff we come from, and that we should reclaim that, because the bad guys don't want us to reclaim that. They don't want us to know that this could be all of our birthright if people assimilate and if people adopt it. We have the winning system. We have the meritocracy. We have the rugged individualism. And it covers it how he was a successful farmer, as his dad was, but because he wasn't, you know, related to a lord, he couldn't get into business. He couldn't go to any events. He couldn't do anything. But by working for a lord and going out and surveying all these dangerous areas and things in Pennsylvania and other areas, and then being in all these incredible battles, and by persevering, even though he lost some of the first battles over overwhelming odds, it was the prototype, the beta test for what would come later. And it's an example to me how I live and what I do in my fight against the tyrants, never giving up. That's why I'm so thankful to all of you provisioning us in this fight against the tyrants. Without you, we couldn't do any of it. So we have competing systems. This is why we fight. You have to be America. You are America. You are the real deal. It's not just UFC fights and eagles flying around and cool stuff like that. That is just the celebration of what the system wants to discredit and get rid of at the NFL, the NBA, the culture and everything, because it's a winning system. And by rediscovering it and firing it back up, we are going to win. And we have just begun. I want to say this in closing and bring Rob Dewitt. He's got a lot to say about American exceptionalism and excellence. And then Robert Barnes and Stuart Rhodes and others to celebrate and talk about what America really stands for here today on this live transmission at 10:51 Central Standard Time. I'm very thankful for the crew and for my family. And when I say family, I mean the listeners and viewers in the information war. As much as I want to fight tyrants, as much as I want to take action against evil, my perseverance, my spirit's strong, but the flesh is weak. You have held my arms up in this fight. You have breathed life into our sails. And if you look at how far we've come, when I first got started 30-some years ago, 1% knew the Federal Reserve was private, 1% knew about Bohemian Grove, 1% knew about the CIA and MKUltra, maybe 1% knew about the globalist depopulation plan, maybe 1% understood what was really going on and had read Anthony Sutton's work or G. Edward Griffin, or heard what Senator Barry Goldwater talked about, or Senator Lindbergh, or any of those people. And now it's 30, 40, 50% have a decent understanding of this, not just here, but around the world. We have come so far. This is a process. So tyranny will not be easily defeated, but we are winning the majority of battles right now. They can target, intimidate, and kill our leaders. They can buy off our leaders. That happens in wars. Look at Benedict Arnold. We continue to move forward. There's a lot of black pillars out there that say everything's controlled, everybody's bad, everybody's CIA, nobody's real but them. And that's just people that have recently woken up and are cynical and don't have any real depth. You have white pillars that just think, believe everything's fine. They're secret good guys in the government. Everything's going to be okay. They're delusional as well. Don't be engaged. Just do whatever Trump says and we'll be fine. No, we control Trump. We put pressure on Trump when he gets off the straight and narrow. And even if he doesn't get back on track, it's our job to stay on his ass and the Democrats, everybody else as well. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light in the world. That's our jobs. You know you're for real. You know you love freedom. You know you love God. You know you love meritocracy. You know you love America. You are America. And we're not perfect, but compared to everybody else, we became the example of the world because we were the greatest extension of people getting the most freedom they'd ever have. And now we have to expand off of that beachhead into the future. So we're going to go to break here in about 10 minutes, but I want to give Rob Due the floor to give his take on America. Then we're going to go to break and bring back Robert Barnes. Rob, what do you think of my 40-something minute analysis?
Well, it was truly amazing taking it from, you know, the beginning of why America needed to be created and all the things people were facing and the reaction to the historical, you know, feudalism, trying to keep people down, keep people working for a system that didn't reward them for their work. And then at some point, you know, the colonists said, look, we got to stop this. And I thought it was interesting there. They actually did a magnification. They looked at the Declaration of Independence under a microscope. And in the original draft, they wrote our fellow subjects. And then Jefferson literally wrote citizens on top of subjects. And that's the mindset shift. The shift right there was, hey, we're not subjects. We are people. We have inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And if we don't like the government, it's not only our obligation to change that government, it's our duty to change that government. And that is sort of what has taken place. And now, you know, you could say, oh, well, we've gone away from that. Yeah, we have. And it's our job to remind people, hey, this is what it should be. This is what we need to go back to. And that's what I think is really, you know, because I've got tweets here about the welfare programs, a 900% increase, national debt, 11,000% increase, foreign born population, 300% increase. Yeah, these are problems, but these are also problems we can address and fix. And that's the thing about America in general. Americans, we look at a problem and go, how can we fix this? And by taking that, it's not always the most straightforward path to fixing things. Sometimes you have to think outside of the box, and that's what's always made America great. It's been taking the ideas of, you know, freedom and putting them outside the box and how to solve problems. It's not about, oh, we have to tax people more. I mean, it has become that. But when it started off, it was how do we make things better? Creating air conditioning, creating the light bulb. All these things were reactions to how do we make things better? And we had a system that allowed you to make things better. And that's why our system is so great, because it allows you to do
that. The opposite of entropy, just to back you up, we have globalists using us and running out our debt to take over the world, parlaying that while they destroy us and discredit us and blame us for all of it at the same time. And part of the blame is us letting them do it.
Yeah.
Just like Israel drives into war, but more of the blame goes on Netanyahu than Trump. More of the blame goes on the globalists than on us. But the point is, some of us more than others, is that it's a phoenix. It's an idea. It can come from the ashes. And so we can't let them demoralize us by this decadent phase we're coming out of. It's a known cycle. We have to understand we're about to go into the new cycle. Go ahead.
And by celebrating what America, like that we've been around for 250 years, you know, that's something that's a great accomplishment. Not a lot of empires have lasted that long, especially in the last, you know, 2000 years. Before that, I think the empires lasted longer because it took longer for information to travel and all that. But now stuff's traveling lightning fast and things are changing at a record pace. And so the fact that we made it to 250, they're planning time capsules now for people to pull out in 250 years. That's a mindset of, hey, we're going to make it into the future. We may not be perfect, but we've got these standards that we've created. And here they are. They're written down. They're ideas that have been put to paper. And that if you follow these, everything will work out. Okay. That's all you need to do. And trusting God is one of those. And that's all people need to realize. And I think it's great that we're celebrating the 4th of July and like all this excess is going on, because you go to Europe, they don't have this excess. They barely get by because they're taxed, except for the elites. The elites live in these, you know, plush palaces. They travel around bodyguards.
They get private jets. They get AC. Yep. They do whatever they want. You don't. Exactly.
Exactly. You know, your air conditioner has to be set to, you know, and it's, 33 degrees or 32 degrees Celsius in Europe, which is hot. I mean, that's like 82 degrees or something. Like, nobody wants to live like that.
People don't appreciate America. Americans for any industrialized country have the lowest level of passports. It's a problem.
Yeah.
People need to travel the world and see foreigners come here and they're blown away. It's easy to sit here in the lap of comparative luxury where the poorest person here is richer than a king 1,000 years ago and bitch about it all day and ask why you've been told to bitch. That's because the globalists want to undermine this system because they want permanent austerity. That's the Great Reset, is a relaunch of feudalism in their own words.
Yeah, and people, you know, people are saying, oh, these Europeans, this is a PSYOP they're running. It's not a PSYOP. I was, Father's Day weekend, I was out at Krause Springs. I heard these people speaking German. It was German-ish. I said, are you guys from Austria or Germany? And they're from Austria. And it was two families. They're traveling here for the World Cup. They had like, I don't know, six kids between the two families. And, you know, I gave them, welcome to America. Gave them each a beer. And I said, what do you think about America? They're like, this is amazing. We've never been here before. We can't believe the amount of excess you guys have. You have so much. We're like, and they're like, we love the air conditioning. That was their big thing that they were all about. They love the air conditioning. And we were at a place that's a private campground. So it's not run by the state. So it doesn't have a bunch of rangers running around telling you what you can do and you can't do. It's just regular people showing up, having a good time. Like the only rule is no glass. And other than that, everybody was having a good time. And these Europeans were just loving America. They were loving the fact that you could go here and you could see all the great landscapes. Then you could see all the great cities. You know, some are kind of torn down, but, you know, out in Texas Hill Country, that's some of the greatest places in the world you can find.
You had a key there. We were out in the river with our kids or the creek about a week and a half ago. Your little kids and my younger daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not a control freak. You don't get in people's business. But they had some young, you know, teenager, maybe 20-year-olds, kids now to us, with glass wine coolers in the waterfall.
In the water, drinking it.
He said, listen, you shouldn't have glass down there anyways. Take your drink. You don't have to take your drink back over to the thing.
Yeah.
And they said, no, you're right. Because that's going to hurt all of us. That's when that's libertarianism. You encroach on us with your glass. Get it out.
Right. Right.
And
I was polite, and they were polite about it too. That's what I thought was the cool thing. I said something to the girl, and the girl's boyfriend's like, yeah, we got it. Thanks for telling us. And, you know, they moved it. And that's the way it should be. Hey, we can point out something that's wrong without being a dick. And then the person that gets it pointed out to could be like, yeah, you're right. Yes.
Exactly. Here's the deal. We have hundreds of square miles of these creeks and beautiful stuff in Austin. You know, all these cliffs that they, you know, can't build on. And so, but they want to put rangers in. They want to have tickets to get in. They tried that, remember?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And during COVID, and then we busted through.
Yeah, exactly. They tried to, because that's what they want to do. In fact, I do have this video of Biden, like 4th of July, is basically get vaccinated. That's his message. Where you look at what Trump's doing, he's like, let's go to Mount Rushmore. Let's have jets and fireworks. Let's celebrate what we've done. We're not perfect, but we're going to celebrate that we're better than anybody else in the world at this point.
I want to say this. Trump's getting smaller crowds because people are mad at him, but it's good that he's promoting America. It's a good thing Trump's doing. It's simple. We promote the good. We expose the bad. We got to go to break, but we'll play that clip with Robert Barnes coming up. We're going to go to break. Constitutional lawyer, really great historian, expert on America. I know a lot about America, and Barnes knows as much as I do or more. Barnes is coming up. Dew's got a lot more. Stuart Rhodes coming up. But just remember, freedom isn't free. It takes money to fight the globalists. I'm not going to give this any attention. People said, why aren't you covering it? But the Bloomberg back groups are trying to take over. Notice they didn't get InfoWars, so they said they were relaunched and all that. And it's all garbage. They got real footage of me in my car. It's my car in Austin. And they go, oh, he's dead. His head got blown off. And they did a fake obituary and all this. It's pure stalking. It's pure harassment. It's all they've got. But there's a bunch of other stuff behind the scenes with other groups right now. Really pissed at me. Now, you think the left would like me because I've been critical of Trump. No. And I've not been critical of Trump to get curry with them. They know I'm going to keep promoting Americana. They know I'm going to keep promoting 1776. That's why they want to get me off air, control my identity, say they're me, and put out a bunch of disinformation. I've always told you they want my identity. That's what the censorship's really about. So you allow me to continue to be my real identity. And, you know, as a folk hero, you're all folk heroes, but they see it as an archetype of that, standing up like Robin Hood against the man. So that's why when you spread the word about AlexJonesLive.com, so when you share the live feeds at Real Alex Jones on X and at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive, we'll put it up on screen here, key URL and your email, text message, it absolutely stands in the way of the MSNBC censors that run it with the Bloomberg money, with the CIA funding, that are pulling out all the stops still to try to silence me so they can then wear my skin, in their own words, to discredit what we stand for. But because of you, even if I was killed next week, knock on wood, don't want that to happen, never commit suicide, the truth of what I stood for and what we stood for and our guests stood for in the films and the books and our reporters and our co-host and crew lives on, and the old clips just get bigger and bigger and more valuable as it all comes true. It's ultra green. It's infinity green. And we need your word of mouth. We need your prayer. We need you to know we're taking on the man and we can't do this alone. So please, go to thealexjonesstore.com. We have 5,000 coins that have been minted. 2,000 arrived Thursday in Arkansas at Bigley that owns the Alex Jones Network, thealexjonesstore.com. And it is a beautiful coin. We'll put it on screen. We have B-roll. On one side, it is the Jerusalem cross with 1776, United States of America, sesquicentennial, 250 years. On the other side, the American flag. It's the highest quality printing, stamping, minting with the American eagle. America 250, pure 0.999 silver, and 2,000 are in. It is a fundraising coin. It's not an investment. It costs $67 to make the coin when we minted it. We sell it for $117.17, 1776. It funds our operation. There's only 5,000 of these. They are a collectible, but it's really about your investment and your future. We need the $40 we make off of it to run the operation on this July 4th, 250th year. Where could you bet on America again? Because we're up against a lot of the same globalist forces, the very same King Charles, whose great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather we fought, King George III, the very same New World Order Great Reset system. This is your chance in the second American Revolution, intellectual, spiritual, economic revolution, 1776 worldwide, to fund the tip of the spear and have a memento. So get it for yourself. Get it for a gift. I want to thank those that have gotten the past coins. This is the 10th coin we put out in the last 6 years. We only put out a few a year. This is the most special coin, hands down, and best looking probably we've ever put out. It is amazing. There's only 5,000. No more will ever be printed. 2,000 are in. They already sold like 1,000 yesterday. The first 2,000 are going to sell out. More come next Friday. Get your orders in right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And the biggest sale in the history of thealexjonesstore.com is running right now. Not just the biggest of the year. Buy one, get one free. The best-selling supplements, 60% off the other supplements, 50% off on Patriot Apparel. The products are so amazing. Bovine colostrum is the very best. Bovine colostrum gummies now. It's all there. We'll go to break celebrating America's 250th. Celebrate it with us. It's Paul Revere. Share the live feeds now at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And we'll be back with Rob Dew with more great points from him, a bunch of clips. Robert Barnes, great historian, not just a great constitutional lawyer, Stuart Rhodes, and others. Please stay with us, my fellow patriots.
To celebrate America's 250th birthday, the biggest sale in the history of thealexjonesstore.com is live right now, but only for 3 days.
I was 2 years old in 1976 when America celebrated its 200th anniversary. Well, I'm 52 now, and it's the 250th. No republic, no empire, no nation has ever survived more than 250 years. But America has to survive. The idea of America, private property, the right to lead your own life, to follow your own religion or not, so many things that this country enshrined that no other nation had became the model of the world. That's why the left, why BlackRock, why the globalists, why the WEF, why the UN, openly want to discredit it. The elites don't like the idea of America because it allows the little people to have meritocracy and develop their own wealth and their own independence. The globalists want neo-feudalism. They want serfdom. They want a great reset to control us. So they've been trying to undermine this country, demonize this country, and blame all the problems in the world on the freedom of America and the West and Christianity and white people. But it's not working. The world is awakening to the Great Reset, and we are in the Great Awakening. That's why it's so important on our 250th anniversary that we remember what made America great and that we continue those values on in the face of tyranny. because the idea is we're promoting work and are pro-human, are dynamic, and unleash the incredible competition of the human spirit and meritocracy. If we don't stand up for not just 1776 here in the U.S., but worldwide, then we allow the globalists, the megabanks, with their transhumanist, death cult, depopulation agenda to come in and sell their lie of collectivism, universal basic incomes, cashless society, control grids, the social credit scores, and the entire system of dehumanization that they're establishing. We are literally facing freedom or slavery. It's a choice we must take. So to celebrate this 250th anniversary, we have the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. 50% off on all of the incredible Patriot apparel. The widest selection, some of the best designs in the world. What an adventure to wear this apparel and meet like-minded people and spread the word. And then most importantly, the very best game-changing five-star supplements on the planet. Up to 60% off. And all the best sellers are buy one, get one free. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it's a flash sale. Ultramethylene Blue, the best on the market. Buy one, get one free. Bovine Colostrum, the best, highest rate on the market. Buy one, get one free. Shilajit Complex, that has all these natural peptides and boost your testosterone and more. Buy one, get one free. As I said, up to 60% off on all the other supplements. The lowest is 40, the highest is 60. These are insanely good. All you've got to do is try them. We have over a 90% reorder rate at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And anyone who's shopping on the site should be a VIP. Cancel anytime. It's $30 a month. Instantly when you're charged, $40 is put in your account to spend on the site. You make $10, special deals, special offers, and sales on top of the sales, making a bunch of stuff loss leaders if you're a VIP. So become a VIP, commit to the American Republic in the year 2026, help keep the broadcast on the air so we can expand the Alex Jones Network. It's a win-win. So to celebrate America and to stand against the globalist death cult, please support your own future and my future, our collective future together, by individual action at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Happy birthday, America. I salute all of our founders, our veterans, and all the patriots out there. God bless you all.
Here, and nobody can promise me that we're gonna make it too. we go on, we go on. If you can hear this from the other side, across this great quantum divide, don't get me wrong, now is the time to stay strong. So, with all of that, I'll say, just go on and tell me those sweet lies, the kind as sweet as these July. Still rebuild. We can still make something better.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on the Alex Jones Show.
This corporate slave state.
Hey, look, it's Alex Jones.
Whoa! Alex.
We love you, Alex! I'm concerned with the structure. I'm concerned with the systems of control. Those that control my life and those that seek to control it even more!
Hey, Libtard, Rachel Maddow called. He wants his shirt back.
You, Alex, suck my d-
What a bunch of garbage. Liberal, Democrat, conservative, Republican. It's all there to control you. Two sides of the same coin.
Teams getting for control the CEO job of Slavery Incorporated.
Uh-oh, Antifa speedball. Move, bitch! Get out the way!
The truth is out there in front of you, but they lay out this buffet of lies. I'm sick of it, and I'm not gonna take a bite out of it. Do you got me? We're gonna stand up, and we're gonna be human beings. We're gonna get fired up about the real things, the things that matter. Creativity and the dynamic human spirit that refuses to submit.
I want to break down the new world order!
Yeah! I want freedom! That's what I want, and that's what Jason wants!
AlexJonesLive.com, because there is a war on for your mind. Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
You do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Yeah.
big storm where he's at. The internet was knocked out, but we got him on the phone. I really wanted Robert Barnes, great lawyer, great historian, just to spend 15 minutes. I'm going to give him the floor to talk about what America stands for, why they're trying to undermine it, what we should do in the future, how we breathe life back into it. It's a competing system, the globalist. 250th anniversary. Why is it important? What are we facing? Where's the Trump administration going? What should we do? Robert Barnes, find him on X at Barnes Law. Robert, great. I remember once you came and spent 4th of July with me. We went out and I got a lake house. We went out on boats. We had barbecue. We both wore our, not even knowing we'd do it, we both wore on July 4th Johnny Cash shirts. And you hung out with my family and I, my children. So, Barnes, great to spend some of July 4th, 2026 with you, my friend. You've got the floor. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, glad to be here, Alex. Yeah, that was one of my favorite July 4th. Someone asked me about that the other day. What were some of my favorite July 4th? And one of them was a kid in D.C. when you had all the, you know, it was open to the public and you had fireworks over the Washington Monument and you had all kinds of musical performers and families out and about. But one of my other favorite ones was definitely getting to spend time out at the lake house with everybody, you know, with the folks from InfoWars. It was a perfect day. The weather was perfect. Everything was great. Some great steaks, some great cigars, out chilling with your sweetheart daughter. It was fantastic. As we look at I think two important things. One is to remember how all this America itself started. That's what the Independence Day, we're unique in that we celebrate not the the Constitution that came later, not the Congress, not the first presidency. Our main celebration of our national holiday is the day the Declaration of Independence was published to the world. And that Declaration of Independence has been mimicked and mirrored and modeled for independent movements all around the world and across America. You have great July 4th speeches by John Quincy Adams talking about how we do not go abroad searching for monsters to destroy, how we an imperial empire is the opposite of a constitutional republic. The Frederick Douglass's famous Independence Day, saying that there was part of our population yet to enjoy that Independence Day and needed to celebrate it. And within two decades, the end of slavery would come. Where a country itself ended it within its own borders, one of the first and only countries to ever do so. But I think the foundation of it is the ideas and ideals behind the Independence Day, represented and reflected in the Declaration of Independence. But also, it's important to remember who our founding fathers really are. And I think there's a propensity to try to limit the founding fathers to the elites. To the folks that might have wrote the Declaration of Independence, the people that participated in authoring it and passing it. But that would never have mattered without the support of ordinary, everyday people who are willing to volunteer for the Army, who are willing to engage in severe and substantial economic self-sacrifice in boycotting foreign goods and providing information across enemy lines. In providing the public support that was critical, essential, necessary to the Declaration of Independence becoming enacted, becoming empowered. And so our founding fathers is everybody, ordinary, everyday Americans, you know, everyday farmers, everyday ordinary workers, everyday ports workers, all the folks that were part of the Sons of Liberty who are not limited or constricted to the privileged class. And those people is what made Declaration of Independence meaningful, impactful, consequential. Critically, we celebrate not the Constitution itself as our main holiday. Instead, it's Independence Day because it was the ideas of the Declaration of Independence that also gave the Constitutional Republic not only its historical impetus, but also its ideological impetus. And so we need to remember that, as like often in the legal side of the world, they focus on what some politician said or what some elite official believed and ignore what did ordinary people believe, the people that made the Declaration of Independence real and manifest, the people that made the Constitution legally binding. And so we need to remember those people, our ancestors, our forefathers. I know, like your family, we go all the way back. I have about 50 different direct family members involved in the Revolutionary War. You can find Barnes's at Valley Forge. You can find Barnes's, or in this case, Colonel Prescott, a direct ancestor at Bunker Hill, talking about don't shoot until you see the whites of their eyes. And we owe those ancestors making sure the ideas represented in the Declaration of Independence are sustained. Now, as we've talked about, historically, going back many, many centuries, a constitutional republic struggles to last past a quarter century, that governments tend to reach an expiration date. And at this quarter millennial anniversary of not only the founding of America, but the founding of universal human ideals and principles against sort of a globalist aristocratic class that achieved revolution when no one before had done so in the same manner, that those ideas need to govern us. Those ideals need to direct us. And we probably need, you know, as Tucker Carlson talks about, making sure there's third party and independent options, with a duopoly continuing to strangle that constitutional republic and suffocate it out of existence, we probably need a new Declaration of Independence using the same format, the same methodology of grievances and ideals to replace and substitute for those grievances, to solve and resolve those grievances. We need a new Declaration of Independence in order to restore the original Declaration of Independence. That if we are going to have another quarter century of America, as a constitutional republic in the way the Declaration of Independence directed, then we need to restore that by doing what made the Declaration of Independence itself sustainable, which was actions by ordinary people. We cannot rely or depend on the political class to deliver us relief or remedy. We cannot depend on one man to deliver us relief and remedy. We need to empower ourselves. Part of that process is getting information and receiving information that is reliable and trustworthy and honest and authentic and not bought and paid for by corporate sugar daddies or specialized interests. But we also need to share that information, get it to others, tell it to others. The same way, big part of the American Revolution was Thomas Paine, at that point a relative unknown intellectual, who was brought over by Ben Franklin because he understood his capacity for philosophical interpretation, but for practical application, in that very little simple book of common sense that was shared and spread in little taverns and little room houses all across America, in churches and community centers, in town halls, where it was read and shared in houses. It was the book next to the Bible that was the most widely distributed book in American history at that time. And it's remained so. If you look as a percentage of the population, no other book other than the Bible has done as well in terms of popular influence and public retention as the Thomas Paine's Common Sense. So that starts with learning ideas and sharing ideas, getting accurate information and then dispersing it to others. Because without that, a lot of ordinary people would have not understood even the philosophical or ideological ideas, the principle that you could set aside the king, that you had a right to do so if you truly understood the biblical scriptures and if you truly understood the philosophical origins of human democracy in a meaningful and manifest manner. That's step one. So whether it's Alex Jones Live, Tucker Carlson, whoever it is, get access to honest information, share it with others, because that's the first step to making the Declaration real and tangible and manifest as we try to restore the Constitutional Republic as a corrupt deep state globalist empire has intruded it and co-opted it, now going back to the end of World War II. The second step is to take direct action. Learn how to be a candidate yourself. Learn how to help other candidates. Learn how to recognize good candidates. That at every level of government, that if we'd had a bunch of constitutionally conscientious sheriffs or constitutionally conscientious police, state police, others, then maybe a lot of the lockdowns and insanity during COVID don't happen. And we're going to critically need that as the sort of globalist AI empire tries to co-opt our republic into a surveillance state run of the Epstein class, by the Epstein class, and for the Epstein class. So we need to develop the skill sets, the tools, the training methods and mechanisms, not only to be candidates, but to support candidates, using all the available techniques and tools available. Because it's important, one of the key aspects of the revolution was employing new techniques, new tactics in dramatically new ways in terms of distributing independent information and getting and people receiving that independent information. And the same is true for the
We're following forward in our forebears' footsteps.
We are not the second revolution. As I say, we really are a continuation of the Renaissance and the revolution of Team Humanity and everything we're doing. And that's why they try to discredit it and demoralize. That's why we must take it up into our hands and make it the real America. We have to enforce it. We have to build it ourselves. We have to inspire.
Precisely. What you're doing every day, what Tucker's doing every day, is a critical constituent component of that process. That in order, as Thomas Jefferson said, to keep the revolution alive, or as Benjamin Franklin talked about, it's a great republic if you can keep it. And what both of them meant by that, when Thomas Jefferson said, we have to make sacrifice to water the tree of liberty, and that it's a continuous process, a new generation, every generation process. When Benjamin Franklin said it'd be a great republic if you can keep it. When John Quincy Adams said the best way to protect the light of liberty in America is to not go abroad as an imperial empire. That all of those principles are at risk and at jeopardy because the same bureaucratic, aristocratic elites that have tried to seize and monopolize power since the beginning of man will not stop. So we have to remain Paul Revere style vigilant. In order to continue to warn against it, continue to understand where and where that risk is coming from, and how to counter it, how to engage in the process of the Constitutional Republic in a manner consistent with our constitutional origins and Declaration of Independence ideals. And that means that people that might want to drift out or drift off, that people who may feel the challenge. I still, someone's saying, people who are doomers or want a black pill, the people that are out there saying, nothing works. I shouldn't participate anymore. I shouldn't pay attention anymore. I shouldn't be engaged anymore. I shouldn't worry about this. I'll just, the powers that be are always going to be the powers that be, and it's futile to resist. I always point out it was much tougher and the odds much longer and the obstacles much higher for our revolutionary generation than us. No one had done a constitutional republic before. They were up against the greatest empire in the world at the time and one of the greatest empires in the history, most powerful empires in the history of humanity. And they had that on one front, and they had tribal conflicts on the other side. So and they had other empires trying to intrude, whether it was Spain or France or others, or the Dutch, on other parts of the Americas. So they had every reason to believe that they would end up being hung from a tree. As George Washington said, if he had to, if it came down to it, he would retreat to the Blue Ridges of Virginia and the Appalachians, and he would resist with his Scotch-Irish brethren. Until there was no gun left to be had, until there was no voice yet to express. And they faced far more difficult circumstances than we could even imagine. We have, in that sense, been privileged. We have, in that sense, had the luxury of a degree of capacity of resistance that they couldn't have imagined having. And for that reason alone, it falls upon us to not get into the trap and not fall down the pit of doom and despair, but to recognize our own power. As we like to talk about frequently, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled is convincing people he does not exist. The greatest trick the system and the globalists and the elites ever pulled was convincing you, the ordinary person, that you cannot resist. Our founding generation knew that wasn't true. They understood the Bible meant and the words it was written in and the ideas expressed through the Declaration of Independence. They knew that they have power and that they can use that power. They can exercise that power, and they were not afraid. As Benjamin Franklin said, those who sacrifice freedom for security end up with neither. We're seeing that in live time. So if we want to secure our freedom, our posterity's freedom, and respect and recognize the diligent sacrifice and success of our ancestors at multiple levels that have restored this republic when under great stress, whether from the pernicious institution of slavery, the deprivation of civil rights, the denial of workers' access to meaningful pay for meaningful work, the woke resistance, the globalist intrusion, the surveillance state we face today, all of those our fathers, our grandfathers, our great grandfathers, our great great grandfathers, or people like my cousins and John Quincy Adams, they understood that it always fell upon them to keep the republic alive. It's up to us to light the liberty, the light of liberty, and to keep that light of liberty lit, no matter what storms may be coming towards us or that we are currently in. So as long as we remember and respect our own power, then we can make the Declaration live in today's world, in today's terms, and for our future posterity. And we have an ethical, moral obligation to do so.
Not just the right, it's the duty. I'm so glad you were able to come on via phone. I'm so glad you were able to join us via phone, even though the storm knocked out your internet, because you were so eloquent, Barnes. And hopefully you'll join me in retrospective Wednesday or Thursday. Let's try to book you now, or Friday. I know you're very busy with your busy cases, but I'd love to get you on for an hour, because when it comes to America, you're the most eloquent. I wish you'd Trump ought to have you the White House to address the country on America. This is what it's about, not UFC. I'm not against UFC. They follow me. I'm friends with Dana, all those guys, Joe. But, I mean, that's the fun part. It's not about cheeseburgers. It's not about cigars, though we love them and enjoy them, and ribeye steaks. It's you know, the flag itself represents the history, what we're doing and what we're building, and a continuation of that arc of what's unfolding. I could not have thought of a better person other than somebody like Stuart Rose, who's also on the line now via Zoom. We're going to go to break briefly and come back with him. But Robert Barnes, please I'll put you on hold or just let me know. You name the hour, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. You name the hour. I mean, I'm doing Monday, I'm doing Tuesday, and I'm back in Austin Monday. I'm doing the live show tomorrow, but obviously I want to get you in the aftermath of this Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday next week for an hour on America, because they just heard off the top of your head how eloquent you are. I want people to hear you when you're even more prepared and any exhibits you want to send, because you're such a historian, such a good friend, and I just admire you, and it's a blessing to be alive and know great people like you and the great crew that came in on July 4th to do this. I'm very, very thankful for them and all the adversity that they've gone through. When people support us, they support the crew and all the work we're doing at the alexjonesstore.com. So, Robert Barnes, thank you so much, my friend.
Absolutely. Glad to be here, Alex.
All right, folks, follow on X, Barnes Law, right there, Robert Barnes. All right, we're going to go to break and come back with the amazing Rob Dew and Stuart Rhodes, and we're going to go till about 12:15, and then I've got a very special report ready for you on taking action and the many ways of independence we can declare against the tyrants. But please remember, we have the July 4th, 2026 mega sale going. We have the beautiful 250th commemorative coin, only 5,000 of them. 2,000 came in Thursday. They're about to sell out. 3,000 come in next Friday. They're being minted or just been minted in Missouri, but the 2,000 are now in the warehouse in Fayetteville, Arkansas at Bigley, thealexjonesstore.com. It has the, again, one of my favorite crosses, the Jerusalem cross, the 7076 cross it on one side. On the other side, it has the American Eagle, the American flag, Sestus Centennial, America's 250th anniversary. It is an amazing coin. So be sure and go to, we have B-roll of it too, to thealexjonesstore.com. And that funds our operation. The coin costs like $67. We sell it for $117.70. Again, it is an investment in liberty and freedom. It is a fundraiser coin. We need the funds to hire more hosts, more crew, complete the new studio, and be bigger than InfoWars ever was, because this is the InfoWar. It belongs to the people. I can't do it without your help. I'm so honored and thankful for your help. You couldn't bet on America and bet on your own future more than sharing the live feeds of Alex Jones on X and rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. You couldn't bet on your own future against the tyrants anywhere than financially supporting us while getting great mementos and collectible pieces of history at TheAlexJonesStore.com. We'll be right back with the incredible former political prisoner, lawyer, scholar, founder of the Oath Keepers, patriot on July 4th, 2026, Stuart Rhodes, and the other super patriot, Rob Dew. I'm Alex Jones. Stay with us.
A lot of hype in the world, a lot of talk. But when you look at what we've done together, exposing the globalist and launching a worldwide populist movement against their tyranny together, it's insane. That's why they've come after us. And that's why they demonize America. The globalist transhumanists wanted to destroy the idea of a free market, open, free society, the American system that became the apple of the world's eye. They want you to think all the tyranny is because of the American Republic. No, it's because of the globalists that have taken it over. They are the ones that want to break our will. And that's why it's so important to not take a knee during the national anthem. That's why it's so important to be proud of the good things in America. Private property, the right to self-defense, the right to own your own business and live your own life and worship the God you choose or not worship God. And that's what we've stood for so long. And now at AlexJonesLive.com, relaunching the new network, everything we're doing, it's so important to understand the enemy wants you to hate America. They want you to blame America for the problems, the things we witness. No, it's the left. It's the globalists. It's the transhumanists. It's the UN. It's the WF. It's the neocons. It's the warmongering rhinos. And that's why they hate what we're doing at AlexJonesLive.com. That's why, to celebrate the 250th anniversary of this great republic, we're launching the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. Up to 60% off on the supplements. Buy one, get one free on all the best sellers. 50% off on Patriot Apparel, and it finances the second American Revolution worldwide. We've done so much together, but I'm here to tell you, the greatest days of the information war using the truth against the liars are just now arriving. Humanity and the Great Awakening, the fourth turning, is here. Their COVID lockdowns were openly designed, they admitted, to train us to be prisoners in our own homes, to work from home, to consult our smartphone before we can leave our house. But it backfired, and they've lost all the trust. And so that's why we got to press the attack right now and celebrate America's 250th anniversary, because it's an idea they fear. It's 1776 worldwide. Their transhumanist globalist death cult cannot operate worldwide if people remember America and remember the freedom. And it can rise like a phoenix again, and it is rising like a phoenix again. And that's why I'm celebrating this 250th anniversary with so much pride and honor for our ancestors and our veterans and all of you today that have stood against the globalist tyrants. I salute you, and that's why this anniversary is so incredibly critical, because the threat we face today is greater than the threat our forebears faced in 1776, July 4th. But we have more people awake, and we have technology as well. And that's why the globalists are in so much trouble. We defeated King George III 250 years ago, and we will defeat the globalists today thanks to your action. So please support our operations now as we stand together and get incredible supplements that will empower you and enrich your life, and great Patriot Apparel to spread the word and keep us on air and celebrate America's 250th together at thealexjonesstore.com. Joining us on this historic day, 250th anniversary of the founding of our republic, July 4th, 1776. We are now July 4th, 2026. What an epic time to be alive. Now, Stuart Rhodes, former political prisoner, sentence commuted by the president, totally, completely innocent. I was there with Oath Keepers. They were planning security, and what of Antifa attack? No plans to go in the Capitol, no plans to attack. He was sentenced to decades in prison for crimes he didn't commit. And, of course, formerly Ron Paul staffer, highly awarded, award-winning lawyer, Yale, Army veteran, good friend of mine, founder of Oath Keepers. I couldn't think of better people to talk about America and why it's under assault, why they're trying to demoralize it, why we should believe in it and be the America that we're supposed to be, why we've been exceptional compared to all the other systems, as bad as we've been. We're not arrogant. We're not prideful, but we understand we've got something special. Stuart Rhodes. Couldn't think of better people. And I was sitting back days ago, like a week ago, I said, we do this special Saturday show. I said, I want Stuart Rhodes and I want Robert Barnes. You just heard Robert Barnes. Knock it out of the park. And then we will go back to Rob Dew, who's been sitting there patiently, also very smart, has a lot to say about America. And so we'll do about 30 more minutes here and then go to a special report. But, I tell you, Stuart, what a time to be alive. What an epic time to be alive. I want to talk about what America stands for, why it's worth fighting for, and then what we face and the latest situations and develops in the world. Stuart Rhodes.
Yeah, like Robert Barnes had said, you know, and you were saying earlier, the bad guys want us to despair. So there's something I want to read to you. Back in 1772, it's an exchange between Patriot organizer James Warren and John Adams, or Sam Adams, actually. James Warren was traveling from town to town in Massachusetts, urging the formation of committees of correspondence, but found a combination of apathy and fear in the towns, with many local merchants opposing the Patriots and their cause because the merchants were doing well financially under the corrupt and increasingly oppressive British government. So he wrote back to Sam Adams and said, I shall not fail to exert myself to have as many towns as possible meet in committees of correspondence. But I fear the bigger part of them will not. They are dead, and the dead can't be raised without a miracle. And Sam Adams replied back, Nil desperandum, never despair. That is a motto for you and me. All are not dead, and where there is a spark of patriotic fire, we will rekindle it. And that was 1772, just less than 3 years before the fighting began in the American Revolution. But they were going through a period but they were having a hard time getting their fellow Americans up off their ass and organized. And they had a lot of apathy and, frankly, a lot of people benefiting from the corrupt system they were under. And so we find ourselves in that same exact position right now. And so a lot of Americans throwing up their hands and despairing. When I was knocking on doors with Thomas Massie in his primary campaign in Kentucky, a lot of the folks we talked to just don't vote anymore because they don't think it makes a difference. And so the founding generation, just 3 years before the kickoff of the American Revolution, were feeling the exact same way. And they were seeing apathy and they were seeing fear. People afraid to organize, afraid to get out there. They did not let that deter them. They kept soldiering on. And like Sam Adams also said, it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. And he knows that because he lived it. They did not give up. They persevered. So we have to do the same. It's our charge, our responsibility. As overwhelming as it might seem, all the odds against us, think about what they face. They were rebelling against the most powerful military on the planet at that time. And they did not give up. They relied on God's providence. They relied on their own personal courage. So that's what we have to do too today. And back to what Patrick Henry said in his famous Give Me Liberty, Give Me Death speech. I'll quote that real quick. He said, "It is natural to man to indulge in the illusions of hope. We are apt to shut our eyes against a painful truth and listen to the song of that siren till she transforms us into beasts. Is this the part of wise men engaged in a great and arduous struggle for liberty? Are we disposed to be the number of those who, having eyes, see not, and having ears, hear not, the things which so nearly concern their temporal salvation? For my part, whatever the anguish of spirit it may cost, I am willing to know the whole truth, to know the worst, and to provide for it." So that's the balance we have to take. We have to be willing to see exactly what we are facing, what is right in front of our eyes, without sugarcoating it. But at the same time, we cannot give up. We must, like Patrick Henry said, provide for it. That means do something about it. And when he gave that speech, he gave it in support of his motion in the legislature of Virginia to form county militias across Virginia. And that motion prevailed, and then Patrick Henry himself became the first commander of the Hanover County Militia, the county where he lived. So that's the balancing act that they undertook, to see the awful truth in front of you, but to not give up, not despair, and then do something about it. And their answer was local organizing at the town and county level and in the churches. Don't forget the Black Robe Regiment. They lit the fire of liberty from the pulpit. So one last quote I'm going to read you is what John Adams said long after the Revolution, when he was talking about what had happened. He said to his friend, "What do you mean by the American Revolution? Do we mean the American War? The Revolution was effected before the war commenced. Revolution was in the minds and hearts of the people. A change in their religious sentiments of their duties and obligations. Where before they had felt an obligation to serve the king and be loyal to the king because they believed the king was justly and appropriately put in place by God. When they saw the king beginning to abuse their God-given rights, they had a change of heart. And their loyalty then went to the committees of correspondence, to their town hall meetings, to the Continental Congress, and to their own state legislatures." So the shift in their loyalties, as John Adams said. So we're in the same position now. We have a corrupt and a manifestly corrupt and evil system over us. I'd say starting with the Federal Reserve, the Rothschild family. In fact, long before that, the Rothschilds were already, through their banking, controlling the governments of Europe and then, in large part, the governments of the United States, even back in the early 1800s. And so I think we have to see that for what it really is. And the Federal Reserve is the capstone on that. So long as we have a Federal Reserve over us, which is just not federal and not a reserve, just a bunch of bankers with the Rothschilds at their head controlling our money system, and so long as we have the CIA now, and then now they want to merge us with, you know, CIA merged with Mossad and U.S. military merged with Israeli military, all of these things are indicators of how far the long train of abuses has come in our day. So we have to be willing to see it and see the awful truth of it, but then do something about it. And I believe the answer for us is exactly the same as in the founders' generation. It is local action. It is your church. It is your town, your neighborhood, your town, and your county. Take those over like the founders did. They took over town hall meetings. They took over their local county governments. They started the committees of correspondence, which was their shadow government, their government in waiting when they became independent. That's what turned into the Continental Congress. We're in the same situation now. I believe local action is where our focal point must be.
Strongly said, I'm just going to say this right now, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. All the persecution I've been through has been hellish, nothing compared to what you went through in cockroach-infested prisons. But you only got stronger and came out with better shape and looking better. People say, man, what's it like? How do you put up with this? How do you do this? I am so blessed to be a continuation of 1776. I know that God had his hand on George Washington. I know God's had his hand on me. You had such faith in prison that Trump would win again, that you guys would be released and basically pardoned. And I saw the faith, and it was so strong. Then, of course, they banned you being able to make phone calls. It was really an example to me while I was in front of grand juries and they were trying to indict me in front of Congress to know, well, I'm not Stuart Rhodes and I'm not Joe Biggs and I'm not Enrique Tarrio. If those guys can be so cheerful and so tough, and it wasn't fake, it helped me man up. And the process of this fight and getting to meet the people I've got to meet in 32 years. I mean, I got to meet the last generation of the Ben Partons and the Ted Gundersons and, you know, Ron Paul and Geoffrey Griffins and all those people. I got to just sit there and just be given such a brain trust of America. And then I see the public, you know, half of them or more, they don't even know what America is or why we have a birthday or who we fought. And it makes me sad. And I see the globalists seeing the ignorance and they just swim in that ether of the blind that they can lead off cliffs. But it gives me so much faith to see our people who are black and white and old and young and you name it, who have the light in their eyes and how our people are so alive and that we have such eloquent, incredible people like you and Barnes and so many others that have done so much for freedom. It's not just that you're eloquent, know the history. You've bled for it. You've been in prison for it. You've fought for it. And you look at what we were up against then. We have some of the same enemies and the same progeny and their ancestors that we fought, and we won so many battles and lost some battles, but we're going to win the war. People have to not just have faith, they have to see the arc of history and realize how epic this is, and that it is not a burden to take on tyranny. It's like breathing. It's like lifting weights. You're designed to do it. And so many people just think being a jellyfish is how you get ahead. It's not. This is epic history right now. We are not the second American Revolution. We are part of that ongoing revolution, and we see the Great Awakening. We see the Great Reset in trouble, and we see the enemy throwing so much at us, and we see some of our people selling out, becoming Benedict Arnolds. That is to be expected in any war, but we don't just have faith. We have the understanding of the history that we are a continuation of and should be extremely positive and energized and focused. And I said that to myself because sometimes covering the negative, which is important to expose, I don't point out. In the past, we didn't even have ways to get this out to people. And all the censorship and all the things we've gone through, and now the globalist left doing weird death threats and saying I'm dead and stalking me and all this stuff, that doesn't get me down. It's a sign that I'm over the target. It's a sign that I'm doing my job, Stuart. And so I'd like Rob Dew to speak to that, what it's like in the InfoWar, and I'd like you to continue to come back. But, Rob, you've been sitting there for an hour very politely. You had great points earlier, and we went to Barnes. What is your overall thing that you want to add to what you heard Barnes and Stuart just say?
Well, America, they always say it's an experiment. And so it's ongoing. Like you said, it's not, we don't have, oh, we have liberty here and then we don't have it here. No, it's ongoing. It's an ongoing fight. It's never going to stop. There's always going to be the forces of evil trying to take power. And it's our job as good people to stand up to that, point it out, and then say, look, this is what it should be. This is the alternative. Not just bitching about what's going on, but saying, here's what's better. There's a video that I don't know if we'll have time to play it, but it really encapsulated your speech of what you gave earlier. And it's this blue-haired feminist who's a finance major talking to, you know, just a podcaster named, I think his name's Caleb Hammer. And she's trying to explain how socialism's good. And he's just like, well, name a place where it worked. And that's the problem. They can never show how these extra, they're part of the experiment. See, they're trying to add things to the experiment too. They're trying to say, here's socialism. Let's put that in the experiment. And then we're going, well, show us where this experiment works somewhere else. And they can never do that. And so they keep trying to add, you know, whatever to that experiment, the socialist elements into the experiment of this country. And we're like, no, this doesn't work. Here, it doesn't work when you open borders. Look what this does. Now we've got 20 million people in the last 4 years that have come in. That doesn't work. So how do we get them out? Well, we have to send people in to get them out. And then if you have states that aren't working and cities that aren't working with the law enforcement to bring people out, then hey, you've got to go in and grab these people and pull them out, because you can't just say, well, we're not going to do anything. We're just going to bitch about it, but not do anything. So, and I agree, some things haven't gone far enough in terms of, you know, fixing these problems, but we can't stop fighting and going, you know, like what Stuart said, he's meeting people in Kentucky who are just not voting anymore. They're like, well, it doesn't do anything. Well, okay. Well, if you stop breathing oxygen, you're going to die. You know, if you stop eating food, you're going to die. If you stop drinking water, you're going to die. You don't stop doing those things just because you're not happy with how you are. You try to fix the problem. And there's plenty of ways to do that. But yeah, they said they have this video. It's about 3 minutes. We don't have to watch the whole thing, but it perfectly encapsulates this system that has educated these young people to believe that there's a better system out there than what they're living in right now, that it's going to be better if we give up all our freedoms and all our liberties and all our speech and our guns. If we give up all that, we'll have this utopia. And they've got people convinced of that, and it's not going to work. What's going to work is people coming together and solving their problems on both sides of the aisle. So here's that clip.
Yeah, barbed wire and awful living conditions and maggots in the food and abusing the people in there, no due process. That's a concentration camp.
Okay.
And so people are rightfully outraged and are out there to demoralize the people who are going into those.
I asked her what her job was, by the way.
I said finance. And you asked if I was a bad capitalist.
I'm a socialist. Concentration camps. You're a socialist?
Yes.
Okay, you know socialism has never worked. What socialism are you in favor for? Here we go. Get ready.
I believe that...
Take a system.
A system?
Take a system in the world that you're in favor of.
Well...
That you would rather be our system.
I just don't want it to be capitalism. Nor do I want it to be...
Take a system that has worked that you like and would like to replicate here.
Capitalism.
Take a system, please. That has been proven to work in any country, anywhere. That is better than our system, please.
Capitalism.
Yeah, please. Find...
Does not...
Okay, that's great. I hear... Yes, you have your talking points. That's wonderful. Now, pick a system that has worked anywhere, better than here, that you would rather have.
Well, that's...
I'm waiting for it.
Your definition of better is, like, not valuing the intrinsic value...
I don't give a fuck about my definition, your definition. I'm asking you to choose. Don't cater to my definition.
And I'm choosing socialism.
No. Yeah, but pick it. Pick another country that has worked.
And unfortunately... We are an imperialist.
We've never tried real socialism, I bet you.
Imperialism is hurting those socialist countries.
It hurt the USSR?
It's hurting
Cuba imperialists?
And Venezuela. Yeah, the blockades that we're doing
oil production dramatically fell after the state took control of Venezuela, and it hurt their economy dramatically well before our embargo. You might be right about Cuba, but no, Venezuela did it to themselves before we embargoed. Timeline-wise, so you're just wrong. They had a slush fund coming in when it was collecting taxes from the private enterprise.
What I'm not wrong about is the fact rebuttal. That's right.
So what system,
capitalism,
please? Okay, I just asked what her job was. Here we go. Please, pick a system. One place that according to your values you would rather do.
New York.
That's not socialist. That's the most capitalist place in the world.
But Mamdani is out there doing
He's democratic socialist.
Yeah.
Socialist.
Yeah.
He still believes in capitalism. You know that, right?
Start somewhere.
No. That is still capitalist. All his policies are funded on the tax revenue generated by capitalism. That's capitalism. That is not
taxes.
Worker-based socialism. Taxes come from the capitalist state. Still. So no, that is not socialist. But if that's what you'd like to see, then don't call yourself a socialist, because that's not socialist. That's still capitalism. That's more Scandinavian. That's European, which is still funded on capitalist systems. I was hoping you were going to say something like Sweden or the UK. I was hoping you were going to say something like that, which are still objectively capitalist countries.
Mm-hmm.
Not socialist by any means of the imagination. They have some more social programs, all funded by the success of capitalism, all funded by the marketplace and the wages created by capitalism.
Do more social programs. How many social programs do you have to do before it's socialist?
You're talking about social programs. Socialist is a completely different economic structure, though.
Right, where the worker has their relationship to the means of production.
State-run, but yes. State-run. That wouldn't really create much. You know what happened in the USSR? With all the land, most arable land almost in the world compared besides the United States and I think Ukraine. Well, they had to import all their wheat. vast majority of their wheat. It doesn't work. It doesn't create the outcome. People need to eat, and it doesn't work. You know what's actually more important?
Are we feeding people under capitalism?
Yes. Have you seen our poor people? They're fat.
That's a good spot to end it on right there. I mean, and that's true. Our poorest people have TVs. They have air conditioning. They have internet service. I mean, you couldn't go 200 years ago. Nobody had the stuff that people have now. The poorest people now live like kings compared to the richest people, you know, 200 years ago. So we've created an amazing system. And we've created a system that's so amazing, these entitled brats who really haven't had, it seems to have any adversity in their lives, think that there's something better out there because, you know, they read it in an article or a Pierce teacher told them or something like that. I mean, that's how crazy it's gotten. And that's what, you know, I think where we're at, we've come to this dividing line. And, you know, Drudge had it on today, Divided America 250. We are divided as a country. We are divided on where are we going to go with all this wealth and knowledge? Are we going to lock ourselves into a prison planet? Or are we going to create a more free system? And I think that's the big question where we're at America 250 is which way are we going to go? Are we going to go totalitarian? Are we going to go, basically not rugged individualist, but a rugged individualist mentality that is going to create more innovation, which is going to make our lives better? Because our lives got better with people inventing stuff in their garages, not giant corporations, coming in and gathering all the wealth. So that's where I'm at with 250. And it is, you know, the left wants you to be divided. They want you to hate your country. They don't want you to look at it and go, wow, we have something special that no one else has. And, you know, we have a country where we can literally decide we want to mint our own silver coins. And we can make that happen. I don't even know where else you could do that. A small company could go, hey, I want to mint some silver coins and then like sell them to the people who like the message of what this coin represents. You know, when I was a kid, you used to get a bicentennial quarter and it celebrated the 200th anniversary of America. And when you got one, you flipped it over and you saw it was a bicentennial and you were like, wow, that it just gave you that cool feeling of 200 years. That's where our country is. I remember as a kid, loving to see the bicentennial. This is sort of like a bicentennial.
Rob, is they say it's cheesy to love America. Well, it's the competing systems are absolutely evil by design. Yeah. So you better support something. And the thing is, they misuse American pride for bad stuff. Yeah, you have to be the representative of America, as Thomas Jefferson said. Let's go to Stuart Rhodes for the next 10 minutes, and we'll go back to Rob in closing. More about America, more of what needs to be done, and the lay of the land currently, where the Republic is in the battle space. Stuart Rhodes, founder of Oath Keepers, that he's relaunched. Be sure to tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I want to build on what you both were talking about. First with Alex, you know, your own family history there in Texas, right? You're part of the revolution. That helps give you strength. And it's important for us to remember where we came from. Whether it's in your personal family, your relatives, like my side of the family, you know, both sides of my family fought in World War II. That helped get me through my imprisonment. And thinking back to the men in the prison ships in New York Harbor and Boston Harbor, the American revolutionaries suffering in the cold down in the hold of those horrible ships. So all of the POWs in our history going forward, that's why I kept feeling sorry for myself. Like, what I'm going through is nothing compared to that. So it's important.
You know this, Stuart, you also know this. They put a lot of their families on the ships and starved them to death, and also in concentration camps, including the mother and older brother of Andrew Jackson, who was in the war when he was like 10 years old as a message runner and later as a sniper. Boy, they pissed him off. Sorry, go ahead.
Amen. So that's the thing, is that we should look back and remember where we came from. Remember who came before us in our own families, but also as a country. That's why I would encourage, I got two books here I really recommend that everyone read. This one's called As If an Enemy's Country, and it's about the lead up to the Boston Massacre, the British occupation of Boston, 1768 to 1770, and leading up to the massacre. And it goes through a lot of the background of what happened, the agitation in the streets, the protests, the tar and feathering of tax protesters, all of that was the lead up to the actual revolution. And the other one I recommend is this one here, David McCullough, 1776, a fantastic book about that first year of the war and leading up to the Declaration of Independence. and then the aftermath after the Declaration. So it's important for us to know that history, because what we're seeing in front of us and what they saw, nothing new under the sun. It's human nature. You know, like Rob was talking about. So when these socialists, they're being brainwashed into actually supporting the destruction of the greatest engine of liberty, freedom in the world, and prosperity. You know, the American Revolution lit the spark. That was the shot heard around the world, because after that, regime after regime, monarchy after monarchy around the world fell. Monarchy fell after that, and ruled by the people, as flawed as it might be, became ascendant. And so the communists and people that are tricked into socialism and communism are being tricked into destroying that and going back to rule by the few over the many. They just dress it in shiny stuff, make it look good. They put lipstick on a pig and tell you this is how you get to be more prosperous and more free as an individual, when all it does is lead right back to the same kind of slavery that people lived under absolute power, under emperors and kings and dictators.
Right. People always say Mondami and communism's failed and they're stupid. No, this communism is a known slave technique of slave master criminal organizations funded by the Rothschilds. When serfdom was in, and they had to have a way to con the farmer serf slaves back into slavery. They wrote about it. It's the left isn't misguided at the top. They know what they're doing. Stuart, speak to that.
Absolutely correct. So, and you know, dictatorship is baked right in. The dictatorship of the proletariat was baked right into the Communist Manifesto. They tell you that you must submit to a dictatorship, absolute dictatorship, rejection of any concept of individual rights, of natural law, of God-given rights. All that's gone. You're just an animal. You're just material. That's everything is a false construct. That's what they're doing right now to our society, trying to dismantle our knowledge of reality. That's why Orwell wrote in 1984 that the party, truth is whatever the party says it is. 2 + 2 = 5 if the party says so. And that's exactly where we're at. He missed the whole issue about gender. In 1984, it was still a man and a woman as the main characters, right? So you missed that part. It's gotten so crazy now that they're getting them to deny reality about, you know,
they were undermining the monogamous relationship. They were undermining the family. They were turning the kids against the parents. They were pushing porn. I mean, I agree with you overall. He didn't get to the whole feminist angle, but the women were actually kind of in charge and were ratting people out. And he actually did get into that some.
Oh, sure. But I'm just saying it's ironic that we've actually gone further than what Orwell was warning about, because we've gotten so crazy now that they deny gender. 2 + 2 = 5, and a man can be a woman and a man can get pregnant. That's where we're at. My point is that they want them to be unable to see reality in front of them, not being able to do what Patrick Henry urged us to do. See what's in front of you. Have the courage to see it. They don't want people to have that courage and that capacity. But the good news is that across this country, everywhere I travel, more and more Americans are wide awake about all kinds of things, about the Federal Reserve, the money system, the Rothschilds, the Epstein files, about Zionism and what it's doing, trying to control our government. They're awake to the history of the CIA and the FBI, which have been parasites on us. They realize we're basically the people of this earth. If they were left alone, could be prosperous and free. But we have these horrible parasites on us who are living off of us and doing their best to destroy us. And now we're seeing it, and more people are seeing it. But the danger is despair. That's why it's important to go back to that central point, is you have to know the truth, but then not despair. And I want to say one last thing. When I was in prison, I was a GED tutor, and I was putting together a class for the GED classes about civics. And I found an old documentary that went through the American history, right? And they were interviewing Donald Trump long before he was president. He was asked, what is it about the American spirit that set it apart? And he said perseverance. He said perseverance is the defining characteristic of the American people that led them to fight and stick with it and, you know, go all the way across the continent and settle wilderness, that took perseverance, not giving up. And I think that's important to remember. You have got to persevere. You've got to make a commitment to yourself that you will not give up. Just the other day, I heard about a guy, another J6er that I served prison time with, Nick, who committed suicide, sadly. And so that's the ultimate, you know, the ultimate betrayal, the ultimate manipulation is for them to get you to give up so badly that you commit suicide. You can't do that. You cannot give up. You can't despair. I don't know what's going on with him, but I just find it tragic that yet another J6er has taken his own life. And the same thing goes for all the veterans out there that every day they're killing themselves. Guys, we need you in the fight. Stay here. Don't check out. He was a young, fit guy in his 20s, strong. We used to work out together. It's just a sad loss for our patriot cause. And, of course, Antifa celebrates.
We love you, patriots. We love you, veterans. We need you. Don't let the enemy win. God loves you. And I want to do one final point. The good news final point that I'm going to go to an important interview that we did yesterday about solutions in our body, getting in shape, detoxifying. There's so many ways to take control, not just taking down the New World Order in one big fell swoop, but just getting our heads screwed on, getting closer to God, spending time with our families, not letting ourselves get angry, which I do, loving each other, forgiving each other, knowing we're all on the same team. But I wanted to hit this and tell people how to get involved in Oath Keepers, which you've relaunched, or give those URLs out. How people find you on the web to energize what you're doing even more. They've got one battle after the other. They've got a movie about the J6 being put out by Sean Penn about the BS, about political police. They had the Civil War movie they produced 3 years ago that came out right before the midterms and right before the general election, where they have a civil war to take down the evil Trump figure. They want to have a fake civil war race-based in America. They don't want us to come together in a velvet revolution of understanding, running for office, getting involved, promoting our ideals that are superior to the Great Reset tyranny. I mean, we're handing out free ice water, you know, in the Sahara. They're trying to hand out cyanide, but we got to point that out. Can you speak to the left and then to also the issues with Trump and Israel trying to take over the U.S. military, and where that fight is right now, Stuart Rhodes, and what Americans need to do as we continue the American Revolution?
Well, yeah, that's why it's important. Just like with Charlie Kirk, he didn't forsake them. He went and talked to them. It's a mistake for us to look at all the you can look at the boomers that watch Fox News and hated Thomas Massie because they were told to. That's one side of being brainwashed. And look at the other side, all these college kids who are being tricked into believing communism is the answer. They want to destroy liberty to, you know, destroy the good that we have in you know, trying to get something better that doesn't exist. And so we have to look at all of these people as what they are. They're victims of propaganda. That's why, like you said, InfoWars was the greatest name for what was happening, because we are in an info war. It's a propaganda war. So rather than looking with contempt on them, I know it's easy to do that, but look at them instead, as a Christian especially, look at them as like, hey, no man's beyond redemption. We can't forsake anyone. We need to go out there and show love to them like Charlie Kirk did. He didn't sugarcoat it. He would tell them the truth, but he also would say, God loves you. Christ loves you. I love you. We can save you. And he brought people to Christ. So I think it's important for us to walk that same walk. But I agree with you. It's spirit, mind, and body. Like, I missed this morning, but I'm going to go do some hill sprints here in just a little bit and train with kettlebells. It's important for us to become strong, mind, body, and spirit. And at the same time, to reach out to other, men especially, men have got to start associating with each other and reach out to other men to work out together and get strong together, mind, body, and spirit. Because you don't know what's going on in that guy's head. A lot of times us guys won't talk about what's going on. Next thing you know, he just commits suicide because he's not talking. So you got to talk to each other. You got to make sure that your brothers know that you have an open door policy that can call you anytime and talk at any time they need you. That's what we have to do, to be there for each other. But we also have to be there for the people that are being, you know, tricked into becoming our enemies. I feel sorry for them. It doesn't mean you might not have to fight them, God forbid. But at the same time, we can't forsake them. We have to reach out to them and do our best to deprogram. And I mean both sides. The boomers on Facebook who are, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid from Fox News, like especially on Israel, we have to be willing to go and talk to them. Just call them names, but go talk to them and help deprogram them. They are victims.
No, I totally agree, because Israel was very smart to have their operatives, Mark Levin, Ben Shapiro, and others, attack me, attack everybody else, get Trump to call us names. I didn't really take the bait. A lot of the people did. Now they're totally anti-Trump. They don't have the same influence trying to get him back on track. No, no, no. Israel is very smart to be mean to everybody, manipulate people so they can come in and take over MAGA. That's failing now. And we have to understand that when I'm critical of Israel, it's not because I want to destroy Israel, not because I hate Jews. We don't want to get down that level that the Likudniks are manipulating us into, or, oh, you're for Islam now. No, we're not. So it's very important to do this from a position of civilization, of freedom, and just promote general liberty and good policies and say we got a big tent for everybody. Stuart, how do they find Oath Keepers? It's such a great organization now rebuilding. How do they support you? Where do people find you online?
Well, the best place to go is to go to giftsandgo.com/oath, and please donate to support the rebuild of Oath Keepers. We have a website now, oathkeepers.net, online, oathkeepers.net, but I really do need financial support to rebuild it. I got to hire IT staff, in fact. Right now, it's
understand. You got to build an infrastructure.
But I want to add
one more man of action.
I go back to Washington's farewell address where he said, we cannot have entangling alliances. And so he would look at what's happening right now with Israel and say, this is exactly what I was talking about, guys. Do not have entangling alliances. And then go back to Eisenhower about his discussion about undue influence of special interests, military industrial complex, but also the Israeli lobby. It's right square in the inside of that.
Absolutely. Stuart Rhodes, great job. You're a proven man of action. Everybody should help you rebuild Oath Keepers. You're doing a great job at such an incredible place on July 4th, 250-year anniversary. Thank you so much, Stuart Rhodes. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
My friend. All right, take care.
Rob, you have a lot to say. You've done an excellent job today. I want you to take 5-10 minutes, whatever time you want, to talk about America, what you stand for, and then we're going to go to this important interview on health yesterday that we've cut down that is so important to remind people about that. It's absolutely so critical. So I'm going to sign off here and listen to you, or I'll interrupt because you make so many good points. I want to just back you up. I want to thank the crew. We've been through a lot moving into the new backup studios. It's a lot to do. We got new studios being built. We're working so hard for everybody collectively together, but as individuals. So please pray for the new InfoWar operations. The InfoWar belongs to all of you. AlexJonesLive.com. Share those feeds. RealAlexJones on X. Rumble.com/AlexJonesShowLive. You're so critical, folks, out there as the modern ball. But I want to just thank you all on July 4th. Such a special time to spend with all of you. I wouldn't be anywhere else. And I'm so thankful for the stewardship that God has given us and for my family and all they've gone through putting up with this. And so for myself and the entire family of patriots here at AlexJonesLive.com, I want to thank all the viewers and listeners for everything they've done. We're changing history, and I'm honored, and I salute you all. Rob, do you have some closing comments? Then we'll go to this important health freedom information that is so vital, such a key part of staying healthy. And then, Lord willing, I'll see you tomorrow night, 4 to 8 p.m. I'll be hosting, of course, the transmission, and we'll see you here at AlexJonesLive.com. Rob Dew, 17 years in the InfoWar with me. Rob Dew, you've got the floor.
All right. Well, yeah, it's been a great 17 years, honestly, with just being seeing all the different changes that have happened, seeing how far people become educated in all the different aspects, you know, Bohemian Grove, 9/11 Truth, the false flag attacks that have happened over the years. And you look at people that are on the internet now that are real popular, and they're basically taking Alex Jones talking points and repackaging them from the 90s and early 2000s. And because somebody else grabbed them, we have and repackaged them. And then they saw that. We have a lot of people who call in that go, I listened to you in middle school. I listened to you in high school, Alex. And now I'm becoming, you know, a leader. I'm doing what you said. I'm becoming a leader. And I want to echo what Stuart said is we have to educate, you know, the people on the left and the people on the right. And here's just a kind of a weird story. It's kind of a sad story. But last night we're having dinner at my house, and my wife gets a text from one of her friends up in New Jersey where she's from. And the street she lived on, there was a murder-suicide. And so she calls her parents, and we're talking. We're all talking in a group on the speakerphone. And we're trying to figure out which house it was. And I'm like, I'm going to go look on Facebook. And people were like, well, it's either this one or this one. Nobody was sure. And one house had a guy who was a bricklayer. He was a Hispanic bricklayer with his family. And that was his, you know, he's a mason, But when I say Mason, he was like a masonry guy. He wasn't a Mason, like a 33rd degree Mason or whatever. And then the other house that they thought it was where the DEA agent lived, or he worked for Homeland Security or something like that. He was like a federal agent. And my father-in-law goes, well, it's probably the house with the federal agent. I mean, and he would have never said that 10 years ago, but it's me sending him articles. It's me talking to him on the phone and showing him, you know, what you're seeing on Fox News isn't the whole truth. And I don't think he would have ever said that 10 years ago, or even 5 years ago. But now he's seen the way, you know, even with Trump, there's been some great things with Trump. Trump released Stuart Rhodes. That's why Stuart Rhodes is talking to us today, because Trump got in office. First thing he did, boom, released the J6 prisoners. You know, and that's why I still hold a soft spot in my heart for what his presidency, because he did that. He took men who were unjustly imprisoned and said, no, you know what? I'm going to set you free. I don't care what the extenuating circumstances were. They went after you, and they went after you guys, put you in prison. Now I'm going to make that right. And in fact, there was another article I had from Gateway Pundit. I think he released some more people. The article is, I'm setting them all free right now. President Trump pardoned 6 more people persecuted by the Biden regime. And these were people who had broken basically laws to allow you to fix your own car. So they broke some environmental laws, you know, but it was like just people wanting to fix their own cars. And they're like, oh no, we're going to criminalize that. And Trump has been he's come out in support of that. So we have to support the things that he does right. And when he does them wrong, the things that we think he does wrong, we need to call that out. And so I think that's great. Like this, acting DNI director Bill Pulte fires more deep state intel officers. That's another great thing. You know, Tulsi probably could have not gotten away with that because she was confirmed. Now, Bill Pulte, who's like a construction guy, they basically said, hey, go in there. You're going to be the acting guy. Just start firing people because you're not going to go in the confirmation process. You're not going to be the final guy. So you could take all the bad stuff that people are going to bitch about and just get rid of some of these deep state, you know, curmudgeons who were trying to stop. Anytime Tulsi was trying to get stuff declassified, they were like, oh, no. No, this stops at my desk, and until I feel like giving it to you, I don't have to give it to you. So it was using these old tropes of just control of access to information. And so now Bill Pulte's in there, and he could do that. There's a great story of this one from Insurrection Barbie about the War of 1812 and the writing of the Star-Spangled Banner, which is based off this flag right here, which was the flag that the Union basically, or the United States, made this flag to basically show the British, hey, you can see this from, you know, a mile away. We're not going anywhere. And that was Francis Scott Key was on a prison ship, and he's writing this, watching the bombs burst over this one harbor where, you know, they'd already burned Washington, and they were coming into Baltimore to take that big Baltimore harbor. And if they had gotten that, they could have basically choked off the supply lines. Because that's basically, you know, information war and supply lines. That's how you win a war. And so they were going after the supply lines, and boom, the fort didn't fall. So these people stayed. Now, contrast that to what we had with Biden. Here's the guys, if you can play this, it's 39 seconds long. If you can play this video, this is what we were getting just a few 4th of July's ago. This is what Biden was telling people. This was our president of the United States. This is what he was concerned about. He wasn't celebrating our country's birthday. The signing of the Declaration of Independence. No. He was telling you to go out and get vaccinated. Go ahead and let's roll this, and then I'll finish up.
I need you to get vaccinated when it's your turn and when you can find an opportunity. And to help your family, your friends, your neighbors get vaccinated as well. Because here's the point. If we do all this, if we do our part, if we do this together, by July the 4th, there's a good chance you, your families and friends will be able to get together in your backyard or in your neighborhood and have a cookout or a barbecue and celebrate Independence Day. That doesn't mean large events with lots of people together, but it does mean small groups will be able to get together.
See, they didn't want people getting together. That's why they were closing churches, because they knew people from church are basically on a higher moral compass than, you know, people who don't go to church. And I'm not disparaging you if you don't go to church. But what I'm saying is that's where those people tend to congregate more. And they didn't want them speaking. They didn't want them talking. They didn't want them singing. They didn't want them doing anything like that. But, oh, we're going to leave the strip joints open. We're going to leave the liquor stores open. We're going to let people, you know, degrade their immune system more with poison, but we're not going to let people get together and talk. And that's what Biden was basically signifying. Listen, we're going to let you get together and talk if you just submit to this poison shot. That's all. And so, and what has Trump done? Whether, you know, he does tout warp speed. I know people are going to, oh, well, he touted warp speed. Yeah, but you know what? He never made people get it. He never said, you have to go get this. He let everybody make their own decision. Because if it would have been the other way, if it would have been Biden's world, because when Biden got in, then he, you remember people were saying, don't take the vaccine because it's Trump's vaccine. But then when they got in office, it was like, oh, now you have to take it. Now we're going to mandate it. And the people just went right along with it because they don't have these memories, I guess, from being a goldfish. But that's what it's all about. It's educating people, showing them the right way things should be going. And when I say right, I don't mean necessarily on the hard right, conservative right. I mean the way, the natural order of way things progress. You could look at natural law and you could look at what the Constitution was. And it was based, our Constitution was based off like the Iroquois federations, what they were doing. And so all these things, even Thomas Jefferson, I know I'm jumping a lot of things because there's a lot I wanted to get to and we're running out of time, but Thomas Jefferson, they said borrowed parts of the Mecklenburg Declaration of Independence that in North Carolina, these guys got together a couple years before the Declaration of Independence was written, and they had life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Thomas Jefferson reads that and goes, that's going in our Declaration of Independence. You know why? Because it's a truth. It's a truth. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Okay, that is what we're here for. That is what our country was built for, to give people the opportunity to do that. And so that's, at the end of the day, that's all I can say is go out there and try to find your life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, wherever it may be. It's not always going to be right. You're going to fail. But it's like what Stuart was saying earlier, the perseverance. It's getting up after you get knocked down. Did Alex Jones quit when they sued him for over a billion dollars? No. He kept going. And you know what? These people are faltering because they don't have the perseverance that he has. And so that's my message. Don't give up. Keep fighting. Keep talking. Whatever your talking point is, keep talking it. Don't be afraid to talk. Don't be afraid to get together with people. Don't be afraid to reach across the aisle, so to speak, and find people who aren't exactly like you, but you have a couple things in common. Work on the things that you have in common instead of the differences. Because that's how we're going to change this world, and that's how we're going to take back our country. Because our country has been usurped by globalists and corporatists and fascists. And I'm not saying Trump. This is long before Trump. It was long before Trump. It's been going for a long time. And these people work from behind. Most of the government isn't even in control of the government. It's being run behind the scenes, even from that. So keep your messages strong. Work and also have fun. Work hard, but have fun. And that's it. I think that's all I got. I want to thank Alex for putting this on today. You know, a lot of people don't want to come to work on July 4th. They just want to sit around and drink all day. But we're going, you know what? We're going to put this message out. It's now 12:25. We only went 10 minutes over what we were supposed to do. But we want to thank everybody out there. Be sure and go to thealexjonesstore.com. My only plug here is this shirt's like $20 now. And we have them in red and in blue. Very cool looking shirt. Even my wife likes this shirt. She's like, I hope you got me one. So check them out, thealexjonesstore.com. We have, it's an amazing sale running right now. Now we're going to go to this interview Alex did just the other day, talking about how you get the things that are out there, the toxins out there that build up in certain areas, mainly on, you know, your joint areas where these nanoparticles and plastics and toxins build up, how to get that stuff out of your body, because you really, it's hard to fight when you're sick and they want to keep you sick. So figure out how to treat yourself right, figure out how to eat right, figure out how to exercise. You got to do all these things and plus spread the word. And if you're not going to spread InfoWars, spread the word of somebody else who's doing good work, but spread the work of alexjoneslive.com. I said InfoWars because that's the spirit. We are at an InfoWar. And that's the one thing they can't take away from you. They'll try to take away your mind, and don't let them do it. And that's it. Rob Dew signing off. Thank you for watching alexjoneslive.com, and we'll see you next time. Happy 4th of July, everyone.
Almost 50 years ago, the last congressional hearings into MKUltra took place just a short walk from here in the Dirksen Senate office building. At those hearings, convened in August and September of 1977, representatives of the CIA told Congress and the American people that its 25-year effort to control human behavior had been a colossal failure. because I believe Congress was never told the truth about what this program actually achieved. In fact, I believe the agency misled Congress in 1977 when it characterized MKUltra as a failure. My name is Tom O'Neill, and in 1999, I accepted a magazine assignment to write a story about murders committed by a group of hippies called the Manson family. For those unfamiliar with this horrific episode of American history, in the summer of 1969, four young people acting on the orders of a cult leader named Charles Manson went to the home of movie director Roman Polanski and murdered everyone they found there, including his 8.5-month pregnant wife, the actress Sharon Tate. The victims were complete strangers to their killers.
The psyop is they claim that the MKUltra was a failure, but what was disclosed by the witnesses is that it wasn't. And what is really not being told, and this is when you talk about Jack Ruby, the lead Harvey Oswald, and all of these Manchurian candidate type personalities.
Literally handled by Jolyon West, public deputy head of MKUltra for 45 years.
Absolutely. And why was he involved with each and every one of these cases? Now, I'm a master hypnotist. I can tell you that it is completely possible, and there have been demonstrations to take a completely normal person who would not kill someone. You can hypnotize them, erase memory sets, so they, you alter their value systems. You have them be triggered by, after anchoring certain behavioral responses under hypnosis. And once that anchor is established, then all you have to do is just fire the trigger. And the trigger can be anything. It could be a sound. It could be a hand motion.
And by the way, you're coming here next week to do like 2 hours nonstop, so you'll be able to get into it deeply. But West, it was certified in Congress, could create artificial mental illnesses with hypnotism, with LSD, PCP, and peyote, mescaline mixed in, and then 6 months of audio recording, it was 100% sex slaves, assassins, you name it. But with suggestible people and the right triggers, you could do it to basically anybody, and he was a master hypnotist. So people hearing this, you need to know, you have a degree in this from a top place in the U.S. This sounds like, you know, Naked Gun or something where they program killers. No, that's Hollywood making a joke out of real stuff.
Absolutely. And you know, I'm fortunate. I got my training from the first nationally accredited school of hypnosis in Calabasas, California. And you'll be surprised at the type of students that are there. It wouldn't be out of the ordinary to have a CIA agent there, an FBI agent, a politician, ministers, all types of various backgrounds. And the question is, why? Why would these professional types want to learn these types of techniques? Well, what came out of MKUltra is ultimately they underemphasize the use of hypnosis. But when you combine hypnosis with hypnotic drugs or hallucinatory drugs, where you can put them deeper into trance, you can essentially get anyone to do anything, depending on what their suggestibility type is, and having long enough exposure to them. And this is why when they talk about those incidences, why it was important for everyone to know. Because the whole idea was, can we erase, the MKUltra project was, can we erase memory sets? Can we get someone turned into an assassin, engage in that behavior, and then forget everything, not be able to recall a thing?
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Secret societies, the occult, were just schools of mind control. And those very systems were adopted by the Western intelligence agencies, the OSS, German intelligence, the Russians, and the CIA here. So much has been declassified. They just had hearings on MKUltra this week. I want to do part two of an interview we did last week live with Jesse Beltran. Very smart. individual with his background in mathematics, engineering, and science at UC Davis. Certifications in blood and airborne pathogens at Sacramento State University. Before that, he was a firefighter and EMT. But for two decades, he's been investigating covert mind control and chipping operations. And quite a bit came out of that MKUltra hearing. Some people thought it was a whitewash, but for a first hearing, it was a lot of incredible admissions. Like Jolyon West, deputy head of MKUltra, being assigned to Jack Ruby that killed the Patsy, Lee Harvey Oswald, Sirhan Sirhan, the Patsy for RFK being murdered, the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles, being assigned and working with Charlie Manson, and much more. McVeigh, before he died, before West died. It's all coming up, and they sent me so many exhibits and so many clips and some very interesting scientific research they've done as well on ways to mitigate this and counter it. I'm going to get more into Trump later in the next hour, potentially trying to run for office again. And I don't say that from an anti-Trump perspective. It's just I've confirmed from White House sources that he's not just publicly making the joke to kind of test the perch. You know, a parrot or a bird will, before it gets on a limb, will put its beak on it, put weight on it, see how it's going to work, kind of test balloons. What feeds into that? I've got more on that coming up after they leave us, Jesse Beltran and Matt Hazen, here in this hour. And we're going to get them in studio. This is going to happen a few weeks ago. I had a family emergency. They already flown in when it happened, so I couldn't be here. I apologize for that, but they understand. They're going to be in town next Thursday and Friday. We're going to do some deep dives, some commercial-free podcasts for several hours, getting into all this where we can with all their exhibits. But some stations don't care this first five, so I don't want to get into the main meat of the interview and the breakdowns right now. You can find Jesse Beltran at Mind Nexus Live on X and mindnexuslive.com. And you got Matt Hazen, who's an incredibly smart individual, and you've got so many scientists together working with him. He'll be joining us as well with some of these medical research findings and data studies and toxicology reports they've got. But bottom line, you see it all over the news now. Back when they rolled out COVID, I showed the patents that Bill Gates has about nanotech self-replicating in the shots, not just mRNA. Pfizer shot and Moderna shot, same thing. Moderna is just three times stronger. Or one shot, that's equivalent to four shots of the Pfizer. Actually a Pentagon operation. But self-replicating spike protein, self-replicating graphene oxide, growing the matrix into us. Now it's all over the news. Now it's basically admitted. We're going to break in about a minute, but Jesse, thank you so much for the work you've done. And so we're going to plunge into this on the other side, but just humor me for a moment, just your first take. What do you think about the reports that I've got from inside the White House that I can confirm that Trump is asking people if he should run again, which legally he supposedly can't do, though there's ways for him to get around that? What do you make of that?
Well, I think the inferences are there. You know, it is not out of the realm of possibility that that is the intent. And if you read, you know, through the lines, it looks like that may be a very realistic agenda that's about to happen. I agree with you that it probably isn't going to be a very popular maneuver. But in light of the global stage right now, again, as unfortunately, because we've only had the option to choose between two parties, because anyone else who's ever attempted, I think Ross Perot was the one who came the closest.
Anyone else
outside of the party.
That's right.
Has been.
Stay right there. We'll be back. Well, they were going to have the hearings a month and a half ago, but the CIA raided Tulsi Gabbard. Then she was out the door saying she shouldn't have had these documents, even though her office is over them. They wanted those MK Ultra documents. Now, MK Ultra came out of Operation Artichoke and then MK Naomi. And then by the 70s, 75, 76, they had the church committee hearings. And what we know is bad enough from that. But obviously, as the experts on the panel said, it's far worse. But it was still amazing. A lot of people that are experts thought it was a whitewash, but this is introductory to the public. They only had 6 hours. Admitting that the deputy head of MKUltra program, Jolyon West, and Ewing Cameron, and then Gottlieb, were the handlers of everybody. Shoot John Lennon, they handled you. Shoot RFK, they handled you. Tim McVeigh, handled him. Sirhan, handled him. Yeah, there he is. Jack Ruby, all of it. Unabomber, CIA, MKUltra, same guys. And it's, you know, showing up the day McVeigh's arrested. He's there the day after. And then the day he's executed at Terre Haute, Indiana, if you believe that, they said he was still breathing. Witnesses that were on the news said, no, he's still breathing when he left. McVeigh was really assigned to Delta Force, set up. I talked to all the people involved, talked to police, Delta Force, all of them. And imagine Jolyon West, the famous MKUltra guy, had been declassified in the 70s. He was deputy head of it. And he just shows up everywhere. When did West die? It was like 10 years ago. I mean, how prolific. And Ewing Cameron, tens of thousands of children kidnapped to Canada, the U.S. That's even on Discovery Channel, History Channel, decades ago. I remember being in high school watching History Channel. And then I'd already read about it, knew about it. So I'm like, wow, they just have these documentaries on just admitting it all. And they grab a kid off the street or they whatever, electroshock them for 6 months, audio, tapes, give them dozens of different hallucinogenic drugs while they're programming them to turn them into a mind control assassin or a sex operative. And everything that Kathy O'Brien wrote about 31 years ago in Transformation of America now basically has all come out. And now they were going to go from beta doing it covertly to overt brainwashing to the water, the food, the electromagnetic systems. That's declassified. I remember like 25 years ago reading in the Baltimore Sun, oh, the CIA on the East Coast and in the central area of the country has recently been testing cell phone towers that they've augmented, and they're able to make people nauseous, happy, excited, sexually aroused just with cell phone waves. And it's like, why would that be in the Baltimore Sun? A listener sent me a hard copy of it. We found the online digital copy, made a huge deal out of that. People got LexisNexis, they can go find it. I think it was like 1999, 26, 27 years ago. So a lot of times, too, they'll admit stuff here and there. It's like it's a trial balloon. And then I remember I was being told by, there's a thousand things to talk about, I guess, our guest. They're putting in Doppler radar in the early and mid-90s. I had a popular local radio show and stuff, and so people would send me stuff and approach me, and I had multiple engineers show up at events and stuff and say, hey, listen, I'm a certified engineer. Hey, I do this, I do that. There's microphones in all the Scientific Atlantic cable boxes. One guy told me, broke it open, showed me. I went on air, showed it. The FBI showed up plain clothes, threatened me the night I showed it. And back then, you weren't supposed to know about this, okay? This is like the mid-90s. And then one engineer comes and says, the Doppler radar, they're putting in power cables 10 times bigger. I'm involved. They use it to ionize the atmosphere and form nuclei to make it rain. Decades later, Dubai is making it rain with Doppler radar. You know, and then as soon as they blew up those high-powered radars, suddenly it rained in Iran for the first time in years. Those are dark radars that spin and are high powered. They're beams and can totally control the weather. So the point is, this is all here. This is real. And mind control is now being fully deployed. This is beyond Havana syndrome. So Jesse Beltran, for 20 years, been on the cutting edge of this with all of his research, is one of the best sources out there. So I'm trying to give him the floor now as he sent a lot of clips from the MKUltra hearing. Then we'll get into more of this after the break. But Jesse, great to have you here with us today. People should obviously go to your site on X, MyNexusLive, and MyNexusLive.com. So we got about 20 minutes to break. You've got the clips. You've got the floor.
All right. Well, thank you, Alex. It's always a pleasure. Thank you for being a patriot, and you're exactly what 250 years of this wonderful experiments called the United States of America really represents. And so thanks to platforms like yours and others who really touch upon very difficult topics, you know. And the MKUltra hearings that were just held on June 30th, headed by Ana Paulina Luna, regarding whether or not this transpired, and, you know, they've already established that it has through CIA release documents that they had access to. And I'm cautiously optimistic about the entire hearing. And the reason I say this is because they had witnesses that presented very good foundational information, but they did not have the experiencers, and the experiencers are out there. You mentioned Canada. I recently did a podcast with the woman who's heading that lawsuit. And because of what Cameron did to her father, and there are many others and relatives that are still pushing forward with that particular lawsuit.
That's why I raised Canada from my research and what was in the church committee. And I haven't looked at it in years. I know you're on it. Didn't they do as much kidnapping, brainwashing centers, safe houses, whole hospitals they took over, mental institutions? Canada did as much as the U.S. That was like a main base.
Yeah, well, that was being funded by the U.S. And that was the issue. You know, the United States was not immune. And after World War II, even after Nuremberg trials and the Nuremberg Code, which the United States really didn't sign on to. And I think that's how they played this plausible deniability, where they continued to do the experimentation even after the Nuremberg trial. So that was revealed during this recent hearing. You know, and the whole agenda was this. The PSYOP is they claim that the MK Ultra was a failure. But what was disclosed by the witnesses is that it wasn't. And what is really not being told, and this is when you talk about Jack Ruby, the Lee Harvey Oswald, and all of these Manchurian candidate type personalities.
Literally handled by Jolyon West, public deputy head of MK Ultra for 45 years.
Absolutely. And why was he involved with each and every one of these cases? Now, I'm a master hypnotist. I can tell you that it is completely possible, and there have been demonstrations, to take a completely normal person who would not kill someone. You can hypnotize them, erase memory sets, so they you alter their value systems. You have them be triggered by, after anchoring certain behavioral responses under hypnosis. And once that anchor is established, then all you have to do is just fire the trigger. And the trigger can be anything. It could be a sound. It could be a hand motion.
And by the way, you're coming here next week to do like 2 hours nonstop, so you'll be able to get into it deeply. But West, it was certified in Congress, could create artificial mental illnesses with hypnotism, with LSD, PCP, and peyote, mescaline mixed in. And then 6 months of audio recording, it was 100% sex slaves, assassins, you name it. But with suggestible people and the right triggers, you could do it to basically anybody. And he was a master hypnotist. So people hearing this, you know, you have a degree in this from a top place in the U.S. This sounds like, you know, Naked Gun or something where they program killers. No, that's Hollywood making a joke out of real stuff.
Absolutely. And you know, I'm fortunate. I got my training from the first nationally accredited school of hypnosis in Calabasas, California. And you'll be surprised at the type of students that are there. It wouldn't be out of the ordinary to have a CIA agent there, an FBI agent, a politician, ministers, all types of various backgrounds. And the question is, why? Why would these professional types want to learn these types of techniques? Well, what came out of MKUltra is ultimately they underemphasize the use of hypnosis. But when you combine hypnosis with hypnotic drugs or hallucinatory drugs, where you can put them deeper into trance, you can essentially get anyone to do anything, depending on what their suggestibility type is, and having long enough exposure to them. And this is why, when they talk about those incidences, why it was important for everyone to know. Because the whole idea was, can we erase the MK Ultra project? Was, can we erase memory sets? Can we get someone turned into an assassin, engage in that behavior, and then forget everything, not be able to recall a thing?
And explain that. That's where the trauma control comes in with kids, particularly, to make it work 100%, is you break off different personalities that you can invoke and control and compartmentalize. So sex ops, murder, delivering photographic memory messages. You don't need to put a chip in somebody's tooth with microfilm to get into Russia. The person's programmed only with the key words. They then regurgitate volumes of information. It's like in Dune, the Mentat. They actually create those.
Absolutely. And this is why, when you get individuals with multiple personality disorders, you can, about 95% of the time, you can trace it back to a childhood trauma. And what they do is they induce that trauma state in order to split the personalities, because what happens is one of those personalities is the one that will take all of the pain, all of the abuse. And then that alternate personality is a protective mechanism that the subconscious creates so that it doesn't have to endure those traumas. So this is sort of a protective mechanism. But when you can induce that, then you can essentially program each and every one of those personalities to do whatever you want by the utilization of hypnosis, advanced drug therapies to specifically cause this, and utilize anchors and triggers. Now, there's
Dune is all about. And Frank Herbert was a super insider with the system and the Republicans. So he's a lot more than what the, so you read the first book, the others get cheesy and just made money off those. That first book is a master coding of how the real secret societies operate. He basically admitted that.
Yeah, correct. And what I'd like to do is share with the audience is the first clip. It's from Dr. Stephen Kinzer. He was one of the witnesses. And he gave a testimony about Gottlieb's given a license to kill, and his synopsis of what he believes Gottlieb was during the 21st century, if you pay close attention, is very interesting. So if we can play that, that would be great.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairman. Let me begin by expressing my gratitude to this task force for confronting the enormous issue of overclassification of government documents and the culture of secrecy that enables it. I'm especially gratified by your interest in MKUltra, the project the CIA carried out through the 1950s in an attempt to find the secret of mind control. MKUltra was one of the most secret government programs in American history. The chemist who directed it, Sidney Gottlieb, lived in total anonymity. My book, Poisoner in Chief, may be the most complete account of MKUltra that exists in public, but I'm painfully aware that I have discovered only a small portion of what MKUltra was and what Sidney Gottlieb did. In 1951, the CIA hired Gottlieb and directed him to launch what became MKUltra. Gottlieb believed that in order to find a way to implant a new mind into someone's brain, you first had to find a way to destroy the mind that was in there already. In its search for ways to destroy a human mind and body, MKUltra conducted the most extreme experiments on human beings that have ever been carried out by a U.S. government agency. By any standard, they qualify as medical torture. These experiments took place in prisons, clinics, and safe houses in the United States, in Europe, in Asia, and even in Latin America. Officers of MKUltra were authorized to travel to foreign countries, preferably those under formal or informal U.S. occupation, and ask the local CIA station to provide them with expendables, human beings who would not be missed if they disappeared. Gottlieb had what amounted to a license to kill issued by the U.S. government. Neither the number of MKUltra victims nor the number of those who were experimented to death is known. Gottlieb, as a result of this license to kill, might have been the most powerful unknown American of the 20th century.
And it went Gottlieb, Ewing Cameron, Jolly and West. And you mentioned it earlier. They say Fauci's a continuation of this, violation of Nuremberg Code. The Democrats freak out when that happens. Violation of informed consent, executable under international and national law, serious crimes against humanity. That's what COVID was a giant externalization of the MKUltra system. Now let's go to clip two. Dr. Stephen Kinzer, the new technologies Stephen Gottlieb could never have imagined. They even get into the wireless waves, cell towers, radio waves in their own technology, which is 60, 70 years old. Not just chemicals, not just repetition, not just hypnotism, but magnetic waves. We'll get to that coming up. Here's clip two.
This task force could also consider trying to determine whether some new incarnation of MKUltra exists today. When the main phase of MKUltra drew to a close in the early 1960s, Sidney Gottlieb concluded that it had failed, that in fact there is no such thing as mind control. Even if he was right, however, he may have been right only at that time. In the many decades since then, there have been enormous advances in cyber technology, in artificial intelligence, in neuroscience. Covert agencies may have access now to tools for mind control that Sidney Gottlieb could not even have imagined.
And to know how widespread this is, I'm just going to throw this out there. Well, when you come next week, I'll tell more than I ever told. But my dad at 14 had the top test scores in Texas, won the science fairs, all that stuff. And he got approached by a program set up by Eisenhower, but Kennedy was president then. And they said, oh, whiz kid, his mom was the principal of a local school, we want to send him to Plan 2 UT. And my dad never told me about really any of it until I made the film Endgame. And then he said, no, this is all real. This is what happened. But I didn't like the projects I was in. He told me some of it when I was a kid. Just don't trust doctors. Don't trust hospitals. They steal organs, all this. I worked at MD Anderson for a year when I was 15, Houston, under the UT program. And he would talk about people would sign away. You know, they were terminal. And he said there was wards with no mandibles, you know, cancer patients. And he said it was all just to see if the young people and the interns would go along with killing people. And I'm like 12 years old. My dad's telling me this on hunting trips, just as a side. Then later he told me even more about it. He said, I went out of the program. They said, we'll put you in another program. And they won't even tell me what that was. And then by the time he was 18, he said, I'm going to go be a dentist. I'm done. But the point is, it wasn't just him. It was everybody else in Texas that had the top test scores were in this program. That's how big this is. And he said they never called it MKUltra, but it was all directly under DARPA. So we hear about MKUltra all day. Even Dr. Kinzer points out this is just a tiny piece of it. Jesse Beltran.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And what's interesting that you brought up your what was happening as a young man. I've been studying. I probably have the largest database in the world, independent database of HI victims, Havana syndrome victims, MK Ultra victims, you name it. This is all under one umbrella because it all feeds into one each other because. The whole agenda, the whole goal was to conquer the human mind and the subconscious. Because if you can do that, you can basically control and rule the world and manipulate whatever scenarios you want. And so part of the other projects were not only specifically to individuals, but to large demographics. So large numbers of populations or what I call demographical biospheres in order to manipulate them through radio frequencies. And that is what was disclosed during the hearing by the witnesses, that was the intent. And so now with the advent of in neurosciences, the advances that we, our forefathers, probably never, ever imagined, the capabilities that we have today, Gottlieb would probably flip over in his grave and do jumping jacks, unfortunately. And so that's where we're at today. I recently have a client who at the age of 14 was recruited in the Long Beach area, and she was being taken to a Navy base, and they were she can describe the path, describe everything very intrinsically, and talks about how they were putting her in CT scan machines, hooking her head up to wires, having her just think about processes, and they were capturing all this data. Next thing you know, she was being put on military aircraft and taking to overseas in the Middle East. And at a very young age, she was made into an assassin. Ultimately, the reason she came to me is because she's now experiencing what people would call Havana syndrome or AHIs. Now, this is just one out of many of the cases that I have. I literally have thousands. I see colonels. I see captains in the military. I see attorneys. I see doctors. I see physicists, scientists, PhDs.
Well, let me throw this at you. I was in D.C. about 6 years ago with a bunch of former top Navy SEALs in Delta Force. These are some of these guys are famous, and they said, I was talking about this. They go, listen, a couple of years ago we were on a mission for months guarding this base in Africa, a U.S. base, where they had all these gifted children with all of this stuff. It was all classified, but it was all sorts of magnetic waves. They were implanting them with stuff. They were saying, yeah, that they had seen that. And so that's how widespread all of this is. And what you pioneered, what they admit now is, it's the chips and now the liquid chips and the nanotech. It's not just they're hitting them with waves. They have been filled with this. And they had a Donald Pleasanton was in a BBC show in the 60s. I forget the name of it, where they were even talking about it then putting these chips in people and then magnetically controlling them. So they were just throwing it in our face.
Absolutely. And now it's here and there. You know, our MI6 whistleblower calls this system a multifaceted system where it can be a synthetic telepathy device. If you ever imagined that we would go from Star Trek flip phones and all of a sudden we have flip phones to this device here, which you were holding up, which is probably this is the precursor to the conditioning. Yeah. The conditioning that we will no longer need these because you'll be able to do this all in your mind, surf the internet, all because this IoT, IEEE technology where every one of us is integrated into the internet of things and basically we become one hive mind.
That's what people don't get is computers work just the same way. They're just lower level than us. We it's like this is how the universe works. We just plug right into it.
Correct. And, yeah, you know, again, it's not the technology that's bad. It's unfortunately who's in charge of it, who's at the top. And
how it's being deployed covertly, stay right against our will. I want to come back and play clips from the hearing talking about this and more. Stay with us and share the feed. There's a lot of hype in the world, a lot of talk. But when you look at what we've done together, exposing the globalists and launching a worldwide populist movement against their tyranny together, it's insane. That's why they've come after us. And that's why they demonize America. The globalist transhumanists want to destroy the idea of a free market, open, free society, the American system that became the apple of the world's eye. They want you to think all the tyranny is because of the American Republic. No, it's because of the globalists that have taken it over. They are the ones that want to break our will. And that's why it's so important to not take a knee during the national anthem. That's why it's so important to be proud of the good things in America. Private property, the right to self-defense, the right to own your own business and live your own life and worship the God you choose or not worship God. And that's what we've stood for so long. And now at AlexJonesLive.com, relaunching the new network, everything we're doing, it's so important to understand the enemy wants you to hate America. They want you to blame America for the problems, the things we witness. No, it's the left. It's the globalists. It's the transhumanists. It's the UN. It's the WF. It's the neocons. It's the warmongering rhinos. And that's why they hate what we're doing at AlexJonesLive.com. That's why to celebrate the 250th anniversary of this great republic, we're launching the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. Up to 60% off on the supplements. Buy one, get one free on all the best sellers. 50% off on Patriot Apparel, and it finances the second American Revolution worldwide. We've done so much together, but I'm here to tell you, the greatest days of the information war using the truth against the liars are just now arriving. Humanity and the Great Awakening, the fourth turning, is here. Their COVID lockdowns were openly designed, they admitted, to train us to be prisoners in our own homes, to work from home, to consult our smartphone before we can leave our house. But it backfired and they've lost all the trust. And so that's why we got to press the attack right now and celebrate America's 250th anniversary, because it's an idea they fear. It's 1776 worldwide. Their transhumanist globalist death cult cannot operate worldwide if people remember America and remember the freedom. And it can rise like a phoenix again, and it is rising like a phoenix again. And that's why I'm celebrating this 250th anniversary with so much pride and honor for our ancestors and our veterans and all of you today that have stood against the globalist tyrants. I salute you, and that's why this anniversary is so incredibly critical, because the threat we face today is greater than the threat our forebears faced in 1776, July 4th. But we have more people awake. We have technology as well, and that's why the globalists are in so much trouble. We defeated King George III
250 years ago, and we will defeat the globalists today thanks to your action. So please support our operations now as we stand together and get incredible supplements that will empower you and enrich your life, and great Patriot apparel to spread the word and keep us on air and celebrate America's 250th together at theyellowshowstore.com. '68 BBC production, Donald Pleasance, a 30-minute TV program called The News Benders about the total false reality, the implanting of microchips to track and control key members of the society and civilization, then them using that to then recruit the people once they've already been prepared. Here's a short clip from that TV show.
That was very low, 0.2. That's very low. That's what we need. Sit up. Please. I'm sorry, the language must seem rather strange at first, but we take it very seriously. Just to show you how seriously, I'm going to tell you how we checked up on you. We call these things surgical transmitters. One was fitted inside you when you went into the Charing Cross Hospital 3 years ago. Appendix, wasn't it?
Transmitter? Are you trying to tell me that you listen to every word I say?
A machine does. Untouched by human hand. There's a little gadget in these things that ties up with the pulse rate. Puts a bleep onto anything that you're excited about.
Or the ghost murmur?
British.
Power quotient. Surgical transmitters, high-speed tape. It's Doctor Who. I'm for the real world, Jack. Good afternoon.
I shall just have to give you an example. On July the 26th, 1966, you were talking to this girl, Sheila, about love. You said to her, I quote, "The kind of love I have for you, Sheila, well, it's bed love and it's more. It's staying in bed till 6 p.m. and saying I can't go to the office today. It's eating breakfast at twilight, laughing at leaves on the pavement."
I don't believe there's any such thing as these surgical transmitters. You got Sheila to tell you all this, then you wrote it down the way I might have said it. You're a good guesser.
Can you hear your heart beating?
It's eating breakfast at twilight, laughing at leaves on the pavement, getting a cab to a silly movie to Paris. It's moving when you're tired of staying still. And I've done it all before when I could do it with no ties. Now to just be irresponsible. So there really is one of those things inside me. What do you want?
We want people with low power quotients. We want them to work for us. Nothing more sinister than that.
And that's the ultimate thing. They let you know it's there incrementally, and then they bring you in, compartmentalized, and the more ruthless you are, the more higher up you go in it. And next week, Jesse Beltran and others, his team, are coming here to do live shows, to do 2-3 hour deep dives, whatever it takes to do the tour de force on this. We got more clips, more to get to. We have a guest coming on about 10 after next hour, Syrian girl and geopolitics to hit, but we need to move quickly here. But this is so important, and you need to know about ways to mitigate this, being aware of it, and other things that are key. What their MI6 whistleblowers have told them, what's in the literature, silicate. If anything in nature, there's a counteraction to it, okay? We'll be talking about that in a moment. But here's a clip you mentioned, Representative Boebert, witness testimony, radio waves, directed energy weapons, clip 5.
Thank you. And I would love to let you gentlemen just talk some here. But when we're bringing up
operations like Naomi and MKUltra. There's Operation Mockingbird that was going on at the same time as MKUltra. And it really ties into what Congressman Burchett was talking about with radio waves, where we have these like a Venn diagram of individual people and the military casting a broader net. So you have the radio waves, computer activity, the Operation Mockingbird, the programming that is taking place. So what do you see in relation to what was happening then and what we are seeing now that could be types of the same kind of programs and even using direct energy weapons or the like? Mr. O'Neill, you can begin.
I would just like to say one thing. There was an objective outlined in the early proposals for MKUltra to do experimentation to see whether they could do mass conversion, you know, convert entire populations. I think that had something to do with the France incident that you were talking about earlier. Again, today, it's all speculation, but back then, they were trying to use psychological means to see what you could, how you could influence people's thoughts.
Right.
And Mockingbird played into that, which, if people don't know, that was where they had CIA assets or co-opted people in the media who would write basically propaganda and try to control the thoughts and beliefs of the population to what the CIA needed. And is it still going on today? I would be surprised if it wasn't.
Sure. I think we saw it even during COVID.
Yeah, they admitted that was a psyop run by the Pentagon and psychological warfare experts. So we're now out of beta into operational. They moved mainly out of drugs, are still part of it as a background, with 30% of the public on psychotropics or more, into the electronic waves by the 80s. That's where we are now, Jesse Beltran.
Yeah, we are absolutely there. And that has been the foundation of my work, thanks to Dr. John Hall, who was the author of back then, Satellite Terrorism and America. And then his second book, subsequently is called Guinea Pigs, Technologies of Control, in which he writes about my work in that book. The bottom line is we have been detecting anomalous frequencies that go back to various agencies, most of them teaching universities, military subcontractors, and unfortunately, DOD type agencies. And so, and that ultimately led to the surgical removal of non-consensual biosensors that have been implanted in some of my clients. And as recently as 2.5 weeks ago, I have another case where one of these larger implants, we have foreign bodies, I have to call it foreign bodies until it's surgically removed and identified, but it is emitting an RF frequency, and we're setting her up to surgery and getting chain of custody and establishing.
And we played clips last week from hearings in the 90s with DARPA and the CIA admitting, oh, yeah, there's all these glowing devices we see on MRI scans and CAT scans. They admit they've done this, but now you said about 15 years ago you began to see them move away from the chips to the nanotech that goes into the nerve centers, which you find now decades ago and almost no one. Now the majority of the public has it, and you find that special ops and military people have way more than anybody else, along with diplomats.
Yes, and that is all exactly true. UBOs, Dr. Francis Collins, and that'll lead into our next clip, I think in our previous episode, we showed that article where he and Fauci were collaborating on how to basically squelch dissent amongst doctors out in the community who were saying, wait a minute, the science isn't making sense. And if we could pull up that clip where Representative Eli Crane is questioning Dr. Elizabeth Genexi of the NIH, and granted, this is a psychiatrist. Everyone listening, I in 2011, I was brought to the Presidential Bioethics Commission in San Francisco in the Bay Area, where the heart of all this stuff has been happening.
It's
this MK Ultra hearing. Yeah, that has been the headquarters. And listen to just how pompous they are. Amy Guttman at the time said that they were the elite 1% of the top 1% that should decide what is done to our bodies because we are too stupid make a good decision.
Here it is, clip four, MKUltra hearings Tuesday. Here it is.
Have done some good work, but you just brought up trust. Do you think the NIH has a trust problem based on how they handled COVID?
No, I do not. I think that the NIH is beloved by the American people because we know about
totally untrusted
advances in human health and cancer treatments and heart disease and diabetes all of the health gains that
sicker and sicker
the research has produced.
Well, I think you're wrong, ma'am. I think that the public has a serious mistrust issue with the NIH. Do you deny that the NIH tried to cover up the origin of COVID?
I'm not here to testify about that. That's not my area of science. I have no knowledge of that.
Do you believe that the NIH supported masking and social distancing when there was really no science to support that?
What I'm more concerned about is what's happening right now to destroy the Biomedical Research Institute that has been the envy of the world. And right now, we're ceding our leadership in biomedical research to China.
What about covering up harmful side effects of vaccines and the role that the NIH has played in that? What do you have to say about that, ma'am?
The U.S. history of human subjects protection has evolved greatly. Numerous research improprieties from the 50s to the 70s in the United States, including the Tuskegee syphilis study, forced Congress to establish formally federal
mandated
rules.
You know what I'm asking you about? I'm asking you about how NIH handled COVID. Obviously, this is supposed to be a hearing about MKUltra, but when you gave your opening statement, and I don't even know why you were called to this hearing because you didn't offer anything about MKUltra, but since you are here and you're going to defend NIH, I'm going to call you out on it. Do you see now what I'm talking about? When you say that the NIH doesn't have integrity problems and trust issues, did you hear the applause in this room? That should tell you right now that you're pretty tone deaf to what the public thinks about how the NIH handled COVID and the cover up, not only the funding of it, but the cover up involved in the aftermath. Can you acknowledge that?
I'm sorry, that's not my understanding.
All right, by the way, it's been declassified that the entire military-industrial complex of the world, to quote, brainwash and make the public scared. It was in the BioShield program 2004 and then the Operation Lockstep, Rockefeller, CIA, John Hopkins 2010, that they would have us 6 feet apart, wear masks, close the sporting events and things to make us scared for the PSYOP, for training, for carbon lockdowns, and to have our cell phones going to leave our houses, turning the whole world into a prison. I've shown you all the documents, shown you the clips, all of it. The CDC put out a report predicting the heart attacks, myocarditis, blood clots, infertility. Before the shot even rolled out, they tell you what they do. They're all in on it. It's absolute pure evil. Now, I'm going to go right to this because they're coming in next week for the deep dive. I want to bring in Matt Hazen, who works heavily with Jesse Beltran, and I'm going to just go directly to solutions. Know about it, congressional, local control, lawsuits, expose it, be aware of it. But also, with their MI6 interviews, you look at this in literature as well, when they implant them with all this liquid nanotech, which they're now doing to the public, so they tell them take silicate when it overblooms and they get sick from it. And then a lot of times they have so much of it, even regular radio waves and cell towers hit them and they just get sick because of the basic nano plugs they have. It's not just when they're being hit actively or being communicated with or carrying information where you can program the body with information to later be scanned. That's what people now are coming up with, you know, Apple IDs from their bodies. It then also picks up the rest of the pollution and magnifies that from my own research. But I want to bring Matt Hazen in because we need to talk about, and we'll go a little bit the next hour, we have a guest, because this is hard to even get into this. There's so much. We have so much clips we'll get to next week. We do the deep dive. But there's solutions. And then it also funds this operation and the research they're doing, and that is zeolites. I've had zeolite sponsors for 30 years. You know, it's on government websites, right? So it detoxifies heavy metals and toxins and all that. But with these nanotech systems, spike protein, you name it, it goes in and pulls it out. But the zeolites they have, and we always promote their one big one, but they've got three others as well that are special. and we'll put it on screen for you, getmasterpiece.com. When you go there, you get 10% off on it. And I've been on these. It absolutely detoxifies you. And I was on it a few months, been on it now about 6-8 months. About a month into it, I told, like, sand was coming off my thighs, my head, my skin. Never had stuff like that. I've had, like, oil pieces come out like anybody. This was, like, grainy, and they said that would happen. Pushing the metals out, it would even smell like metal of the toxins. So it's not just the stuff they've nanoteched it with. It's all of it, the microplastics, all the garbage. So getmasterpiece.com, and it supports the broadcast. You're insane if you don't get their products. So I want to do a plug here because it's also important to have solutions. You do your own research on ZLI. There's a lot of great ones out there. Bailey's got a great one as well, but the AlexJonesStore.com. But this particular one is hands down very special and the best. And it because it takes this special sea mineral combination that a scientist developed with Matt Hazen. It's published, by the way. And we talked about it last week. They sent us this. This is people they scanned, certified with these readers. And then they did the zeolites and what it showed in the toxicity reductions of up to 70%. That is a big deal. So I want to bring Matt Hazen in, and I want to get Beltrans, and we'll get more of the clips from Congress and more of the clips that Hazen sent me that are very important here. But let's do a plug for this because it supports the broadcast. It absolutely is amazing. I'm on it. It's such a, I mean, look at my skin just the last few months. I mean, it's incredible. And obviously it did its detoxification because after a few months, I started having the little sand coming out of me, but it was like black or gray and it smelled like metal. And I probably should, if I'd done it, have that tested, you know, what's it doing? And Jesse can speak to that, and so can Matt Hazen. But everybody needs to get the zeolites. You've got the best, four different types, but the main one is Masterpiece. So Matt, tell us about, these are third-party top labs that did these tests on people. Tell us what we're looking at right here, and we'll put it on screen. We blacked out their names,
absolutely.
Obviously.
Absolutely, Alex. So what we're looking at is a study that was done in 2024, and we're going to be looking at the third-party lab results. This has never been shown anywhere before. We had to do a double-blinded peer-reviewed study, so we are going to redact the names from it. But we're looking at testing the lymphocytes in the blood, the intracellular level, which means we're looking at the nano-sized level. So when you're talking about toxins, toxins are never nano-sized accidentally. They don't show up in nature nano-sized. So it is a synthetic, it's a modifying process away from nature. And we're looking at literally line one, polyethylene glycol. That is a part of your encapsulation system for the mRNA delivery system. And so we can see, and if you go to 15, that is graphene oxide. So we are literally looking at aluminum, aluminum salts, arsenic, different type of neurotoxins such as cesium-137. And what we're looking at is the results from a German lab. So bottom line is, folks, you feel sick because you have too much poisons in you. Your health goes downhill because it's 100% rooted in chemical poisoning, in radiation poisoning, and or the synergistic effect of both of them, okay? And so when you get out these toxic paramagnetic materials such as graphene oxide, all the materials that we're discussing that make the MK Ultra or Havana syndrome phenomena happen is to do with these toxic electromagnetic responding materials. So we are the only ones that have fearlessly tested these before and after taking Masterpiece. This was 24 study participants. 13 of them, Alex, were jabbed. 11 of them weren't. 16 of them had been PCR tested, all of them. But some people were very healthy. Some people weren't. But all their levels were high. And so that's very important. No matter who you are, no matter where you think you're shopping for your food, or if you turn down the COVID vaccine, rest assured that when we test your levels for glyphosate and all these other, they are high. It is everywhere. So how do you take care of it? Right at a dollar a day. Right at a dollar a day. That's literally what Masterpiece costs. This is how you protect your family in a proven way to cut down the sickness in your life. Look, we've now done 7 completed human clinical trials testing the toxin levels in blood, urine, and hair, Alex. Jesse also did his nonlinear junction scanner for a study that we completed in United Kingdom. All these studies had different third-party lab testing and all had identical results.
Zeolites, people that don't know, explain what it is, and then sea minerals, so when it goes through, it replaces it with the good stuff your body needs. I mean, this is like literally trying to ban people, selling garlic or something. I mean, it's just crazy. And,
Learn how to discern like a master research epidemiologist, which means follow the results, right? And when you look into nature to find out what are we going to create that is going, such as masterpiece, that's going to work. And when you look out
into
the world.
Yeah, but if you look up chelation in just mainline research, if you've got mercury poisoning or whatever it is, the doctors will recommend zeolites. I mean, you buy zeolites at Whole Foods, but they're pissed at you and your scientists because they added this mineral, which how is that different?
It's completely different because clinoptilolite zeolite is amazing at binding all toxins, but where toxins stick, where they're magnetically stuck, is the same exact places that minerals go. So people experience a mineral deficient health episodes. What zeolite does that is different when you combine it with minerals is simply grab out a toxin, but then in the environment, other toxins, which are more magnetically charged than minerals, will take back its residence. So it's a dogfight to try to just grab out the toxins. What we see with Masterpiece and the real reason why our results are exponentially better is because it is magnetically carrying in the highest sourced sea mineral plasma solution that has been monomolecular structured. Everybody hears the word structure, but monomolecularized.
You were saying properly. It matches the body, right?
Identical to your blood plasma. It is isotonic marine plasma, what you would say in every way. If you go into a lab and you test this solution in every type of way, every type of device, it will be 99.7% or 8% identical to your blood plasma.
I'm just going to say this. I mean, you look at zeolites, everybody knows what they do. You add minerals that are great for you. And then when you look at zeolites, known for detoxifying, pulling garbage out, it just shows how sick and evil. Next, they're going to claim mother's milk is a bad thing. So, again, do your own research, folks. Look into it. Understand that I'm not making any claims. You can go look at this up yourself. This is what I'm doing. It's been great for me. And I'm telling you right now that the globalists are pissed off. And you guys have your MI6 whistleblowers and others, what they were told with their own Havana syndrome about silicate. So we'll get to silicate in general. Any other ways people can detoxify themselves as well, we'll talk about that with our guests. But I want to hit a few more clips with you because we're almost out of time. But the good news is next week we will do the deep dive on this. And with even more documents, we've not even scratched the surface. We're going to do hours and hours. It takes 3 hours, we'll do it, going into the whole thing. Because people want this. I do, too. This is so important. So we're not just opposing the tyranny. We're talking about solutions to counter it. I'm Alex Jones. Hour number 3, Syrian Girl and more coming up. Stay with us. All right, we're out of time. We only got 5 minutes left. We had all these clips we didn't get to. We're going to have Jesse Beltran and Matt Hazen back on. We are in studio. And some of the other researchers, but you sent me a bunch of other clips here. How many people do you know who've been diagnosed with all this? Renowned EMF researcher Robert Obecker, U.S. patent for altering brainwaves, data centers in Nashville. What is the deep dive, Jesse Beltran, then popping in, Matt Hazen? Because I know there's a lot I want to cover that we're going to hit next week.
Well, the deep dive is that we'll be able to demonstrate some of this, and I'm even thinking brainstorm and talk offline about something that we could show the audience that exists, and it wouldn't take too much time. But basically, we're going to go step by step, talk about the history, show you the documents, show you the proof that none of this is make-believe. We'll even show our recent incidences where we have I spoke about the client who recently we found an object in her that is emitting an RF emission. We'll show you those medical diagnostics. So this is still happening. The bottom line is that now you're implanted, but you're implanted with much, much smaller technology that you can't see with the human eye. 50 nanometers in size, 1/2000 times the width of a human hair. And what does this mean? And talk about ultimately what this fight is really about. It's about the children and the generations to come. That their cognitive freedoms are under attack. And if they won't even be able to distinguish their own memories, their own thought processes, and from whether it's theirs or falsely imprinted or remotely imprinted in them, it is nothing less than slavery on a scale that we've never experienced.
And it's come out that that's what the COVID shots are, is putting the plugs in us, but it's the coverings, the appeal. products with Bill Gates. It's everything. They're flooding the zone. We'll get into the sources of that with you guys as well. But great products you've got, not just the Masterpiece. They get Masterpiece.com. You guys are amazing. I remember when I first met you guys like 8 months ago, you're like, here, have a bunch of this. You got to get on it. And then Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL, is like, this stuff's great. My dreams are great. My skin's, I'm like, yeah, you're losing weight. You look great. And so I finally got on it like 4 or 5 months ago. And it's just amazing. People need to experience it. It supports the broadcast. I've taken other Zeolites before, you know, that did some good, but this is way better. Get Masterpiece.com. You guys have really done something special. And Matt, I want to just commend you and the scientists and researchers and the work you've been doing over the years to do this. And I'm really excited to do the deep dive coming up next week. What else is front and center you want to cover next week, Matt?
We should probably cover a little bit more detail so that people can learn a little bit about this overall grid, this 6G grid, if you want to call it that, and where humans interact with it and what we can do to keep us from being pulled in to losing our middle cognition and our personal autonomy. So that's a very big deal. But they really covertly snuck these data centers hard in us. And those are the GPUs, CPUs, and decentralized part of this overall Earth computer grid. So that's a big thing, I think, that we should explain a little bit better so people have a
absolutely.
A little bit better.
And I'm going to add a lot in this, too, because I want to get into the intergalactic communication system. The psychiatrist and ARPA-DARPA that came up with the plan in the late 50s deployed into trying to build it in the 60s. They declassified it in the 80s, part of it. They call it the intergalactic communication system, and it's this huge node interfacing with humans that is going to try to create a mind control mass cyborg system. When Google got founded in 98 with InQtel and the CIA and their founding documents with Eric Schmidt, Larry Page, Sergey Brin, they said, we're building a giant internet interface cyborg. So our interfacing with the AI is the cyborg. It's pretty amazing, huh, Jesse?
Absolutely. Our forefathers never envisioned that we would be at this point where the Constitution should have been written to protect the cognitive liberties, your thoughts, and keep that ultimately the most private and the most precious God-given gift we have.
Well, you guys are doing an incredible job, and so thank you. When you go to the URL, getmasterpiece.com, you get 10% off automatically by using that URL. This is something you really should try, and it supports the broadcast of 360 Win as we approach the 250th anniversary of America. Matt Hazen, thank you so much. Jesse Beltran is at mindnexuslive.com. We'll talk to you both next week in studio, podcast, and more. Stay with us. We'll be back. To celebrate America's 250th birthday, the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com is live right now, but only for 3 days. I was 2 years old in 1976 when America celebrated its 200th anniversary. Well, I'm 52 now, and it's the 250th. No republic, no empire, no nation has ever survived more than 250 years. But America has to survive. The idea of America, private property, the right to lead your own life, to follow your own religion or not, so many things that this country enshrined that no other nation had became the model of the world. That's why the left, why BlackRock, why the globalists, why the WEF, why the UN openly want to discredit it. The elites don't like the idea of America because it allows the little people to have meritocracy and develop their own wealth and their own independence. The globalists want neo-feudalism. They want serfdom. They want a great reset to control us. So they've been trying to undermine this country, demonize this country, and blame all the problems in the world on the freedom of America and the West and Christianity and white people. But it's not working. The world is awakening to the Great Reset, and we are in the Great Awakening. That's why it's so important on our 250th anniversary that we remember what made America great and that we continue those values on in the face of tyranny. Because the idea is we're promoting work and are pro-human, are dynamic, and unleash the incredible competition of the human spirit and meritocracy. If we don't stand up for not just 1776 here in the U.S., but worldwide, then we allow the globalists, the megabanks, with their transhumanist, death cult, depopulation agenda to come in and sell their lie of collectivism, universal basic incomes, cashless society, control grids, the social credit scores and the entire system of dehumanization that they're establishing. We are literally facing freedom or slavery. It's a choice we must take. So to celebrate this 250th anniversary, we have the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. 50% off on all of the incredible Patriot apparel. The widest selection, some of the best designs in the world. What an adventure to wear this apparel and meet like-minded people and spread the word. And then most importantly, the very best game-changing five-star supplements on the planet. Up to 60% off. And all the best sellers are buy one, get one free. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it's a flash sale. Ultramethylene Blue, the best on the market. Buy one, get one free. Bovine Colostrum, the best, highest rate on the market. Buy one, get one free. Shilajit Complex, that has all these natural peptides and boost your testosterone and more. Buy one, get one free. As I said, up to 60% off on all the other supplements. The lowest is 40, the highest is 60. These are insanely good. All you've got to do is try them. We have over a 90% reorder rate at thealexjonesstore.com. And anyone who's shopping on the site should be a VIP. Cancel anytime. It's $30 a month. Instantly when you're charged, $40 is put in your account to spend on the site. You make $10, special deals, special offers, and sales on top of the sales, making a bunch of stuff loss leaders if you're a VIP. So become a VIP, commit to the American Republic in the year 2026, help keep the broadcast on the air so we can expand the Alex Jones Network. It's a win-win. So to celebrate America and to stand against the globalist death cult, please support your own future and my future, our collective future together, by individual action at thealexjonesstore.com. Happy birthday, America. I salute all of our founders, our veterans, and all the patriots out there. God bless you all.